Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Good times. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
No!
Well, evidently everyone is getting sick.
Yep.
Yeah, are you getting it?
No.
You getting a haircut?
Why?
Because you look different.
No hat.
No hat.
Oh, 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 oh.
But my hair's short.
Is it shorter?
You can only get a hair.
My hair should be long if I'm getting a haircut. You know what I'm saying? Did I get a haircut?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said, are you getting a haircut?
No, you're sitting right there, and there's nobody with scissors, so you're not getting a haircut.
Well, you said, are you? What'd he say, Teresa?
Let's start the show over.
Okay.
You said, are you getting a haircut? Did you get a haircut?
Or did you get a haircut? No.
Oh, well, no. You look good.
Thank you. And, no, you know what it is?
You don't accept compliments well?
Yes. I dress like a bag lady most of the time. I don't shave most of the time. I wear a baseball hat most of the time. And then sometimes I have to do stuff. I've been doing this commercial.
Commercial now, yesterday. Can we get a hint about this product?
Look, here's a
feminine hygiene product.
See, that's all I can't say anymore. No, look, here's how life works.
Okay.
Here's how this business works. Let me explain. Everyone listen up.
Okay.
I will tell you exactly how this business works.
Please, because I need to know.
There's a bunch of people getting paid a lot of money for not that much. They're not doing anything.
Right.
There's a lot of producers who do nothing, who make a ton of money. There's a lot of publicists who get paid a ton, who do nothing. There's tons of people in this business who get paid a lot of money to do nothing. And it's almost as if you had a lawyer that you just paid a lawyer salary to, but he didn't have any work to do.
Right.
And that guy hung out around you. Thus, every 10 seconds, that guy is going to get in between you and whoever just to justify his huge salary. This is what Hollywood has. Now, Hollywood has tons of these people. So what happens is, first off, they don't want you to say what their product is and what the commercial is. Why? Doesn't matter. Nobody cares. If anything, I could probably make an argument for talking about
it. Of course you
could. It's called advertising, retards. But no, they'll wait 2.5 months, and then they'll pay the station money and hope I talk about it.
Right.
So first off, nothing makes any sense. Well, first off, they do all this stuff based on anyone giving a rat's ass, and nobody does. You know, those people who go like, I have an idea for a TV project. And you go, oh, what is it? And they go, I'm sorry, I can't tell you.
Right.
I can't say anything. That's all just this grandiosity. No one gives a good rat's ass. Nobody cares. But there's a bunch of people that get paid a bunch of money who have not that much to do. And when you don't have that much to do and you just, you know, it's like I had a guy. I did the commercial yesterday. I had a guy whose job it was to hand me the product, and then when I was done doing the thing, I had to hand it back to him, and he stood next to me and held the product. The product didn't weigh anything. I said to the guy at a certain point, if I just held on to this product, would you be fired? And he said, like, yeah. It's like, as if you're doing a product, it's like you're doing a commercial for a hairbrush. And there's a guy next to you and you just stood, as opposed to you just keeping it in your hand when the guy yelled cut and he said, let's try it again. So that guy would get fired. As a matter of fact, I probably could have fired 3/4 of the people that were on the set.
At any given moment.
And we could have gone on just fine without them. That's the way this business works. It's fat.
And you turn out to be the ass.
Oh.
I usually use the D word there.
Yes. If you say, I prefer to hold my old comb.
Yeah.
No. And if you say, I prefer to drive myself to the, oh, no. And if prefer to anything, guys are going to get fired.
Yeah, people lose their jobs by you doing essentially nothing.
So what?
I've been through this and had to, you know, you just go, I can do this. No problem. And you find out, like, a big version would be, I'd like to do my own stunts. If it's a nothing little stunt where you don't have to be an expert.
Right.
You just put a stuntman out of work and now everybody hates you.
And this guy, the stuntman is going to get paid a ton to do almost nothing, which you could do. Now,
trip.
So the way this business goes is everyone has their panties in a bunch because everyone gets paid too much. And again, they're not very busy. So I've learned my lesson because over the years, I was always like, well, so what if I talk about this? Or so what if I talk about that? Or I go over here and do this guy's show. I didn't know. I didn't know, you know, you're not supposed to do Conan's show and then Leno's show the next week. Or it didn't. And I would always say, do you think anyone cares beside us, beside this little group that gets paid way too much to care about nothing? Do you think people out in society even pay attention or notice? So I know no one's listening, and I know no one's watching, and I know no one's cares. And I just speak with impunity, and nothing ever happens, by the way, except for the handful of Chicken Littles that say the sky is falling.
Right.
No, there's never any repercussions. So what happened was, I think it was about two, three weeks ago, and I hate this person. I hate this human being. I've been dealing with them my entire radio career. The topic came up. I was doing a national commercial, and I said, I'm doing a national commercial. And somebody, maybe like Teresa, I think, said, what's the commercial for? And I said, I think I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to say what it's for. Not that I care, not that it makes a difference, not that anybody cares or it makes a difference, but there's three or four guys who are getting paid too much who do care. So I say, I can't say anything. And that's why Teresa asked me again this morning, what's the product?
Yeah.
Because I didn't tell you before.
Yeah,
well, I got home and I get a panic call from my agent. Uh-oh. What happened? The agency was listening. They said you mentioned the name of the product over the air.
No.
That's what I love about this society. And that's what I love about how horrible this community, this Hollywood community could be. I didn't say what it was.
Right.
I said I didn't say what it was. Someone's got to get on the blower, and someone's got to fire an email, and everyone's got to be CC'd, and everyone's got to know. And then my agent, who's on the East Coast and obviously doesn't know what's going on, gets to get the panicked email. Hey, guess what? Corolla's saying the name of the product. Who cares? Number one, but number two, I didn't say the name of the effing product.
Right.
You didn't even give us the area. I don't know if it's an insurance company, a candy bar, a motor oil.
It's all of them.
I'd stop guessing about first, you right now.
It's the first candy bar insurance.
Wow, that's some product.
It's called Affleck Baby Havilland.
Ooh.
Yes, I will.
Delicious.
That was fast, dude.
Now
it lubricates your insides
supreme.
And ensures a good bowel.
Yes. Now, look.
No, that's Purina One.
Nobody who heard that radio, that segment on our radio show, heard me say the product. I know they didn't because you guys are sitting 3 feet from me. And you don't know the product.
Right.
Obviously, I didn't say it. As a matter of fact, I did the right thing.
Yeah.
I should get bonus points.
Yeah.
The topic came up. Somebody asked, and I said, no, I'll respect the client and not say anything. But what happens? Panic call to agent. Then panic call from agent to me. And what do I got to do? I got to talk the guy off the ledge. You sure you didn't say anything, baby doll? No, nothing slipped. No. Okay, I got to email these guys back because they're panties in a bunch. Really? Would the person that made that phone call please kill themselves? Please.
No, they won't.
You obviously have nothing. You have nothing in life. If this is at the top of your to-do list, please kill yourself. As a matter of fact, put something a little bit higher up on your to-do list, which is to do yourself in. Have a to-do yourself in list.
Yes.
You spineless pussies. Please
what a
take a good look in the mirror and then blow your effing head off because you, frankly, have nothing to live for. And by the way, if you're gone, we ain't missing a beat. All we're missing is the retard that calls in the false alarm. You see, right. As a matter of fact, we're better off without you, you puss. Please put a shotgun in your mouth. You officially have no purpose. You officially are worthless. All you do is hear information and then concoct it, twist it, and then you convey erroneous information.
But we've said that on the show before. If you ask 10 people what was said about a specific subject, you'll get at least 8 different answers.
And if you're going to fire off an angry email or make a call, why not confirm what you heard.
Oh, they're confirmed
first.
In their head.
They
heard Adam blatantly say the name of this product and flipped out and made a call.
Plus,
and they're probably somewhere right now standing by.
Here's the other thing, too. They're liars. There's two types of liars. There's the type of liar where you know it, and then there's liars where you don't know it. I imagine a little more like OJ.
Right.
You know, the people that twist things around. You ever do that thing where you're standing next to somebody and something happens? And then you're standing next to the same person and they're conveying what happened. And they're like, and she came up and she asked me in a very snotty, condescending tone if I'd gained weight. Well, the reality was she said, nice skirt. Is that a new skirt? Do you know what I'm saying? And then you ever stand next to somebody who you saw the actual story and then you hear them report it. I don't know if they're lying or they're stupid or they're not dialed in or they're crazy. I don't know that person even knows that they're lying. The point is they're unnecessary and they should kill themselves and they cause tons of problems. Half the stuff you see on the news is probably reported or has to do with these people and it's erroneous. All I'm saying is we live in a society and especially this small enclave known as Hollywood where there's way too many people getting paid way too much to do way too little and that it's going to make for lots of emails.
Yes.
Lots of worthless emails. And then you get sucked into the email because you have to defend yourself. You have to go, wait a minute, I didn't do. No, I wasn't blah, blah, blah. And of course, they're reporting it to people who have no idea what actually happened and only can assume that if a professional person said, I heard him say the name of the product on the radio, that must have happened. What sort of mental patient would fabricate that? Well, that's what we're living in. So, I would love to tell you guys what this product
I'm so
is.
I'm sorry I asked.
Oh, what happened?
I'm not.
I'm sorry.
I would love to tell you the name of the product. It doesn't make a difference, and nobody cares. But I can't, because there's three idiots with their panties shoved up their ass that are going to hop on their computer and call my agent. And all I ask... All I ask is that you people kill yourselves. You do nothing.
Right.
As a matter of fact, this country was founded on the exact opposite of you. It was founded on guys that rolled their sleeves up, worked hard, and shut the F up.
And they had to write with quills.
That's right. Stab yourself with that quill in the eye, would you please? Or the ear? And just yoke your brain out. Just put it in there and auger that brain out. I hate you people. I've heard so many complaints to my wife. Adam said, shut up, you effing retards. Kill yourselves. Please, I'm not kidding. Kill yourself. You do nothing. You're just using up resources. You're burning coal. Your Duke's floating out to sea and infecting the surfers. You're wiping your ass with the rainforest. Knock it off. And by the way, I'll bet half of you are into conserving. You know, I bet the guy who sent or the girl that sent this email or had to alert somebody of anything, especially this, I bet they drive a Prius. I bet they have themselves those compact fluorescent light bulbs. You want to know what really saves electricity? Kill yourself. Compact fluorescents save 30%, but I'll figure out a way. I'll save you 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got a Prius that gets a million miles to the gallon. It's called a coffin. How about you ride it 6 foot into the ground? You know the Earth you love so much? How about you visit it?
Huh? Become one with it.
Yeah, become one.
Hemp coffin.
All right, we need hemp coffin. I was in that band in high school.
Just so you know, I was going to bring this up and then I chickened out once we had used kill yourself and retard about 1,000 times. Mm. Because I'm going through this with Jack Silver right now.
What?
He emailed me last night. I went into his office yesterday and I said, hey, can I pose naked in Playboy? And he said, or in Penthouse. And I said, no. He said, no. I said, okay. So I wrote the guy back and I said, sorry, I can't do it. And that was the end of the conversation. I get an email from Jack last night. Are you aware of this? You already did the photo shoot?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
You already did the photo
shoot? It's being reported that you have.
Jack was in here 2 days ago, and he said he didn't care about you doing the photo shoot.
2 days ago, yesterday, he said no. So I wrote back Chauncey right after our show and said I couldn't do it. So,
Who's he talking to? What's going on?
Well, here's the thing. TMZ reported yesterday that they called Penthouse to confirm that this photo shoot was going to take place, and they said that it already had.
Oh, I didn't even
Penthouse said it already had.
Penthouse has told TMZ that this photo shoot has taken place.
Right. So I wrote back a gigantic email. Now it takes me forever to type.
I love Danny can write a great angry email because sometimes
which
I type them.
I did. I said, no, why would this have happened? You just told me no. Have you ever seen any evidence of me doing directly the opposite of what my boss tells me to do? As a matter of fact, this picture that we are using is a picture of me at a CBS event with a half-naked CBS employee that you paid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bob Moore got up on stage?
Yes, and I was naked with Bob. I went on forever with, of course I didn't already do
right.
it. You told me not to do it, so I didn't do it. But it really upset me that he was very happy with the almost naked picture of me with the almost naked woman when it was an event he had spent money on, which was my bachelor party. That's the picture they have.
I see. Well, all right, so I'm confused because he came in here a couple days ago and he said he didn't care if you did the Playboy thing.
Penthouse. Now it is a definite no. And
right.
I wrote back the
it's
guy.
It's a definite no.
I wrote back the guy, I can't do it. And he wrote back, what about a regular photo shoot? And I said, don't know. Ask Jack Silver. And that has been the end of my contact.
Do you want to do it?
Oh, not now, no.
Why not?
Because it's too much of a hassle. I work here and somebody doesn't want me to do it and I don't want to hear that.
Do you
trouble.
Deny that you've actually already done it?
Oh, yeah,
just
blame
for the
me.
Record.
I absolutely deny 1,000 bazillion percent.
All right. I've tuned out. Where were we?
Rich sending useless emails.
Rich, yes. Rich Eisen, speaking of someone who should be sainted. Forget about killing himself. He should clone himself. That's right. We'd have two NFL networks for me to watch. He'll be calling in on the show, talk a little pigskin. Oh, big game tonight. Yeah, 10-1 Dallas against 10-1 Cowboys. We'll talk to him and how to stop the Antichrist known as Tom Brady next.
Now live from the corner office, program director Jack Silver.
Please, Jackhammer, don't hurt him. Today, an interview with comedy legend Roseanne Barr, Rich Eisen of the NFL Network, comedian Dana Gould, celebrity gossip couple Lynn and Alex. Also, a new adventure with Hugh Hauser. And we'll check out Craigslist for another installment of Who the F Sells This S. Oh, speaking of Craigslist, that reminds me. Jackman's got to place an ad for a nanny. Who, nanny? Hi-yo!
Thanks, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Rich Eisen, I just had a flash fantasy. Rich Eisen?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a younger brother?
No.
Oh, man.
Just an older one.
I feel sorry for that guy. Oh, you have an older brother. Still would work. You know, would there be anything cooler than being a younger brother to Rich Eisen? You know what I mean? One of those things, the mistake brother, where your parents had Rich when they were in their mid-20s, and then the condom broke when they were like 38, 39.
Yeah.
So you're a senior in college, and Rich Eisen from the NFL Network is your older bro. And he's out on the West Coast.
Is there any explaining your blind love of Rich Eisen if you had to?
I'll tell you what I am.
Yeah.
Gay. I am gay and I am like a dog. I smell people and I go, "Ooh, I like this guy," or I go, "Grr," I start growling like an 80s movie. Like the dog of the hot looking blind chick.
Yeah.
Who invites the guy home from work to set up her VCR.
Right.
Sparky never barks at anyone. Well, later on, that guy's going to try to rape this chick.
Absolutely.
That's how it worked. I'm that way with Rich Eisen. I get a great vibe off of Rich Eisen.
Spiritually, his crotch smells good to you.
Mm-hmm.
I did
Popa
find
crotch.
It a little odd that when you came on the show, you were sniffing around my ass.
That's the way I roll.
That's just the way he gets to know people.
Yeah.
So, Rich, can I ask you, now, big game tonight. Huge. Green Bay Packers, Dallas Cowboys, Thursday night football. Couple things first. Great story. I mean, the best story of the year, the biggest story of the year is probably the Patriots, but the best story of the year is Brett Favre.
And he's, you know, he's got career start tonight, number 268.
Never been injured.
And he is setting career records. He's on pace to do it in completions, yards, completion percentage, and accuracy and all sorts of stats that 38-year-old guys who haven't missed a game since 1992 should not be doing. You know, and,
yeah.
and he is beyond what he's perhaps ever done in the league at this age. It really is remarkable what he's doing.
The thing that makes the story great, it's really the stuff movies are made of. Here's a guy who has a great career. He's a legendary career. He wins a Super Bowl, so on and so forth. But the last couple of years, he's not his old self. He's throwing tons of picks. He's getting sacked. He's not having very good years. And everyone is quietly whispering, this guy should hang it
right,
up. It's
right.
getting sad.
Right.
It's sad. He's a former shell of himself. I mean, there's nothing sadder than seeing that heavyweight who doesn't know
That's
when it's time
saying.
To leave the ring, and he's getting pummeled by the young kids, and it's sad. He was a great champion, and now look at him. Well, that guy who everyone's whispered 2 years ago should hang it up,
right.
and we're basically speaking in a conversational tone, he should hang it up about 6 or 8 months ago. Well, now this guy's playing better than he did in 1999 or whenever he had his best year.
Right.
That's the thing that's amazing, and especially in a sport where the average guy's career is done by 34.
Right.
He's 38.
Now, yeah, I mean, and you mentioned that he was, you know, not his old self. He was just a regular old self. He was an old self.
Right.
And people were saying, you know, they had a young quarterback that they drafted named Aaron Rodgers, a first-round pick out of Cal a couple of years
it's
ago.
It's got to be lovely for him.
Right. How about that? I mean, he's basically – he should start endorsing clipboards at this point in time because that's basically what he's done.
What about
so
beanies
far.
And headsets?
Yeah, he could do that. You know, he definitely has that whole arms akimbo standing up.
Can I tell you how much money – can you tell me how much money I lost on that mall store venture? Beanies and clipboards.
That didn't work.
Just beanies and clipboards.
That's it.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is Brett Favre also created a little bit of a stir when they were like, well, so you're going to mentor this young kid? And he's like, no.
I'm going to play.
I have no interest in you know, teaching him the ropes. You know, I'll chat with him if he wants to ask me questions. That's sure. But he's not going to sit there and put his arm around him and you know, go all Little House in the Prairie on him. You know, he's just going to go out there and continue doing what he's doing. And now he's as good as anybody, period. And he's got the 10-1 for the first time since, like, they're talking Vince Lombardi era.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys, however, 10-1 for the first time ever. They've never been 10-1. And they're going to have some of their own mojo tonight. They're honoring the 77 and 92 championship teams. So Irvin and Aikman and Staubach are all going to be roaming around the stadium tonight.
Right. Just they won't know they're there, but yeah. Awesome. Yeah. You know, I'm old school, and I like it when teams like the Packers and the Cowboys are doing great.
Right.
I don't like it when guys who have too much turquoise and fuchsia in their uniform and sharks on side of their helmet.
Teal. You get something against teal? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, teal. Yes, I like it when the old school teams are doing well.
Right.
Even if I don't care, I like to see the Yankees in the World Series every few years. It just makes me feel I'm alive rather than some team from Florida.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure, no, I hear you.
Can I ask you a question, Rich, about
Please.
The competition committee as it pertains to the NFL?
Yes.
And, you know, I don't have any juice over there, but they'll
now
listen.
You do.
They'll
now
listen
you do.
To you.
Yeah.
All right, well, I want you to be my mouthpiece for this.
All right.
I've been complaining about this for a couple of months and actually a couple of years, but it seems like it's really kicked into high gear. Lately, pardon the pun, I've seen, it seems like every second game, a field goal goes over the goalpost upright.
Right.
Right over it.
Yes.
And there's no way the 63-year-old guy who had cataract surgery on Wednesday looking straight up into the night air could tell whether that ball would have gone inside or outside of the pole.
Right.
Now, I have said it just happened again in the Patriots game last week, but it's happened multiple times this year alone. I've said, what could it hurt to raise the goalpost? This has nothing to do with the crossbar. This is the upright.
Right.
These guys have so much leg. These guys are better athletes than they used to be. They have so much leg that the ball's sailing over the top of the goalpost. Thus, it becomes like a home run ball that goes over the foul pole. Hard to tell whether it's fair or foul.
So what are you proposing?
The goalpost 10 feet.
That's what you want.
What? Is it going to block anyone's view? Is it going to be in the way? Is it pose a hazard to seagulls?
I'm wondering if you need to reconfigure, I guess, the whole structure, you know, to support that. But, I mean, Here's the deal. Here's the deal. I would like you to put it in writing, and I will submit the Ace Man proposal. Is that what you call it?
Yes. Like, but Rich,
I will personally hand in this proposal. And we'll see how it flies.
Rich,
Adam, you may find this impossible to believe, but I actually have an opinion on this.
Well, yes, go ahead.
In a sports matter, I can't believe it.
Please go ahead.
What about topping them off and making it a square and or a rectangle?
Well,
and if you go over it, is just as bad as missing it.
Now, that's interesting.
It would make that better leg and better athlete now have to be more accurate.
I spoke
like
to
making a basket.
I spoke to a kicker, actually, friend of mine who's a kicker.
Yeah.
Not in the NFL, but he played Arena League in college and all that. And he tried out for a few professional teams. That's the first thing he said. How about make a box and you kick it through it? I said, that's fine, but that's a different discussion. That's worth 4 points or whatever it is. That's a totally different. That's a reconfiguration of the game.
Right.
This is a logical extension of the game. This is guys used to hit home runs that went 410 feet. Now they hit home runs that go 510 feet. We need to raise the foul pole so we can tell if it's fair or foul.
Yeah,
because
again, you know, the NFL is a very traditional organization, but they also, you know, they have, just like every other meeting, they have certain Roberts rules of orders here, Adam. So,
They've raised it once already.
What you need to do is you need to remove this box idea. It sounds a little like a video game, what you're talking about here. Like, maybe you should have like a little bouncing pretzel in Miss Pac-Man.
Yes.
If you hit the bouncing pretzel or the bouncing banana with the football, you get 800 points or something like that.
I'll tell you what,
you need to remove that. Keep it simple and say you just want to add 10 feet to the top of every upright across the land. Because you are right, the kickers are stronger than kicking it upright.
How many have you seen this year? Be honest, Rich.
How many have you seen this year where you couldn't tell if that was fair or foul? It happens all the time. And as a matter of fact, if you remember a couple weeks ago, at the end of the Browns Ravens game, when the ball went over the goalpost, hit sort of like that curved attachment,
right,
and then went back through, and that was not reviewable because the league does not want field goals reviewable exactly for this issue. They don't want to get into every field goal being challenged because they want to see, because you can't get a proper angle, a TV angle, to give you a conclusive view of whether the ball went over the upright or not.
That's the thing.
That's why you've got to tack on 10 more feet, Adam.
Now, here's the deal.
I like it.
The fans can't argue with it because it makes no never mind to them. As a matter of fact, they probably wouldn't even know. And the refs probably would like to see it so they could definitively tell whether it went inside or outside of the bar. Because I swear to you, Rich, I've seen 8 field goals this year that look like they were in or would have caromed in. They look like from the angle, they're coming from the inside, they would have hit the pole and caromed in.
The only way the fans won't like it is if it makes the uprights aerodynamically unsafe and they blow out and directly into the stands and hit them on the head.
Right.
That's the only way.
And I must say, I have this with many businesses. I cannot believe I'm the only guy who brings this up.
Yeah.
Is that
on a day where 2 10-1 teams play for only the second time in 17 years?
Oh, yes.
This is what's stuck in your craw, and I like it.
I know. I'm surprised.
My craw is bottomless. Thank you, Rich Eisen.
Well, Rich, I mean, think about a time not long ago when neither the score nor the amount of time left in the game were on the television screen.
That's a long time ago.
Those were days when...
Can you believe nobody thought of that until some guy did? Sports?
I know. At least there's... Yeah, I mean, at least that something has a technological aspect to it. This is literally taking a piece of PVC pipe that you could get at Home Depot and tacking it onto the end of this pole. Yeah, Rich, it's a great time, and I love all the angles, and I love all the graphics, and I love all the everything that goes on with pro football these days. What a sport, and I'll tell you, it just seems like it's heading in the right direction because it seems to grow by leaps and bounds each year, and not only that, but thanks to the good people over at the NFL Network, I can get my football fix throughout the year.
Well, what about people who don't have the NFL Network? How will they see this great game?
That's the problem. Here's the deal. People who don't get the game tonight, call up your local cable operator and listen to them give you a song and dance saying that it's the NFL's fault, it's not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say that, when they say that to you, your response to them should be, but you're the ones who aren't showing it.
Right.
The NFL is the one offering it. You're the ones deciding not to show it. And I want to see it. So what do I do? What do you tell me now? Basically what I'm saying is get a free cable box out of them, get some free cable, and then go to your friend's house and watch the game, hopefully.
Well, I have the NFL Network.
There you go.
And
go to your house, Adam. Why don't you have everybody over?
I will not be home tonight, unfortunately. Right. I'll be doing a commercial. I can't say the name of the product.
Ask him for what. It's important. He really wants to know. He wants to tell you.
But I will be TiVoing this game and hopefully not hear the results because it's going to be huge. And, yes, the NFL Network is a fledgling network. It's been around for, what, 4 years?
4 years?
5 years? 4 years. And it's in coming up on 40% of the...
It's in 40 million homes right now. And, you know, and again, it's a good question. I do feel terrible for those people who can't turn on their TV sets at home tonight. But just know that the NFL is trying to get it as broadly distributed as possible. And in the meantime, if you're wondering what NFL Network's about, just buy my book. Buy the book.
That's right.
Total Access, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe, Rich Eisen?
That very book that's available on Amazon.com at bookstores now, that's exactly the one I'm referring to, yes.
Hey, Rich Eisen, I'd be remiss if we didn't bring up the Sean Taylor tragedy before we let you go. Anything you've heard, any inside scuttlebutt about this?
Well, obviously the discussion is whether or not he was targeted or not. That's what they're looking at right now, and... his wife says that wasn't the case. And, you know, one of his friends from college who plays for the Arizona Cardinals named Antrell Roll says he believes that's the case. And,
right, but, you know, this hardly seems like the work of an assassin. You clumsily break into someone's house and then shoot someone in the thigh and flee? That doesn't feel like a hitman to me.
It just does sound like a random act, and it's just awful, obviously.
That just feels like high... and drug fix and just completely random, which makes it, you know, it's weird. It's horrific no matter what. But when you hear that it's, when somebody says, well, this is a vendetta, this is a hit, you go, oh my God, that's horrible. And then you hear, oh no, this just is random. You go, oh, that's even worse.
Right.
It's just worse because the guy didn't get away with anything as far as I know. Do you know what I mean?
It's perfectly senseless, every player in the league, apparently, I think that's what we were talking about last night, this we heard from the league, every player in the league is going to be wearing a number 21 decal in his honor tonight.
Did you know Sean Taylor at all? What was he like?
I didn't know him personally. NFL Network covered a Redskins game last year against the Giants, and he was, you know, we went out, you know, on the field about 8 hours beforehand, practically, you know, not to exaggerate, like 4 or 5 hours beforehand, and he was out on the field working out, and Deion Sanders went up to him and, you know, chatted with him for like 10 minutes, because Deion talks to every single young cornerback in the league, and
he tries to convince him to do his touchdown dance when they go for a pick six.
He does like it when players hold up the football.
Rich was supposed to interview him, but he pulled a hammy getting out of a Cushman.
That's it. It's true. As you know, I do frequently injure myself on the job.
That's all right. You're like a thoroughbred.
But
you know what I mean? Yeah, you're no farm horse.
Yeah, I hear you.
You're a finely tuned instrument. You break down every once in a while.
Deion spoke to him on the field?
Yeah, Deion spoke with him on the field and came back, and he just had a big smile on his face saying that kid's great. He's turning his life around and everything's good with him. And he's a specimen. He's huge, certainly for his position of safety. I mean, he's just a huge, huge young man.
Yeah, and a big hitter.
So,
well,
terrible.
Very sad. All right, Rich.
Yes.
I will be TiVoing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay Packers, Dallas Cowboys. You people out there who don't have the NFL Network, you poor, poor, sad, sad, faceless masses, you unwashed masses. Please pick up the blower if, in fact, you have a phone. I don't know. If there's some coffee can you talk into with some yarn on it.
Mm-hmm.
Call your cable company and tell them you want the NFL Network because this is un-American.
Or telegraph your local cable company.
That's right. Use a carrier pigeon and alert your local cable company. Rich, you're doing the Lord's work, as per usual. We'll be watching tonight.
All right, and I'll speak with you next week. Yeah, next week we're in D.C., actually, so we get the Bears and the Redskins next week. But tonight's game's going to be huge. So
yeah. And what is, I know you guys don't work this way, but Dallas is home, right?
Dallas is home, yes.
And you guys don't talk about the spread, but I haven't checked into it. I'm guessing the odds makers say Dallas plus 3.5 or something like that, 4?
Dallas so, plus 3.5?
I would say plus. I mean, Dallas is given away 3.5 or 4.
Yeah, these things, again, as you know, are beyond.
Oh, 7.
Beyond. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Wow.
The way he has to be naive.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, it's like Ron Jeremy. Oh, 9.5?
I liken myself to unfrozen caveman sportscaster. Sports terms confuse me.
7 points. All right, Rich. Yes. We'll be watching, and then we'll be talking tomorrow. Or I should say next week when you get out to D.C. area.
Speak with you, Duo.
Good times.
Rich.
I love that guy.
I don't know why. You like him.
You know who I feel bad for, though?
Hmm.
You.
Hmm.
Because you really don't want to know what happens in that game so you can TiVo it, and it won't happen for you.
No, someone will alert me.
It'll happen accidentally. It happened to me for a Chavez fight that this was a decade ago.
Mm.
And I avoided all newspapers, all news, because I was doing comedy that weekend. And I had my friend.
Are we talking about Julio Cesar Chavez,
yes,
or the guy who organized the great boycott in 73?
No, the great boycott is just, you know, didn't you see it? It was fascinating. He won in the 10th grape.
Some white farmers.
I had a friend record it for me on VCR because we didn't have TiVo way back then. And I avoided the television and everything, and I was a big pain in the ass about it. Like, I wouldn't go into the mall. I'd say my friend would go into the mall and make sure there were no newspaper stands right in front and stuff like that. And when I got home, my friend said, okay, I got it. And he hit play. And hit play at exactly this picture. Chavez's hands were raised in the air, and the announcer says, Chavez was relentless.
Oh, he didn't rewind.
Although I can't imagine him getting it up that fast to stop it either.
Mm-hmm.
He must have rewound to the exact wrong spot.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if he stopped it, he wouldn't have stopped. He would have let it roll.
Yeah.
Don't, Jesus Christ. It's been a while since I've been around a VCR, sadly, but don't they rewind automatically once the thing gets to the end? But this probably didn't get to the end.
I'm guessing it didn't get to the end. And I even said to Dave, I remember,
he's
my best friend ever, and there are two things I don't forgive him for, and that's one of them. But he must have thought he rewound, because, I mean, there's no way he would do that on purpose, because it was so important to me.
Well,
I would assume that he did, and take it as nothing short of an attack.
Yeah, I should have.
He moved to Maui and got sober, so I'm through with him anyway.
Right. Hey, Jared?
Yeah.
You have a suggestion for the goalpost?
Yeah, I was thinking, why couldn't they put laser beams along the sides of the goalpost, since the area of score is infinite anyways?
Well, I can dig it, but the goalpost does not allow the opportunity for the ball to carom back in. I mean, the laser beam does not offer that opportunity.
Right.
It would break the laser, and then if it broke the laser, well, who's to say whether it would have been fair or foul? Because you can hit the goalpost and not go through the goalpost.
Right.
You can bounce off the goalpost. It's the most exciting thing in the game when the thing hits the goalpost and doesn't make it through the uprights. So that is a retarded, horrible idea, Jared.
Eat fresh.
Thank you.
Although,
I'll have you know, I thought that was an interesting idea.
Every time I bring it up, somebody brings that one up, too. First, they bring up the square it off. Actually, just the one guy and Danny brought up. And then the other one is the laser. But again, it's literally extending a 4-inch wide metal pole another 10 feet. It has to cost $180 per stadium to retrofit those goalposts. What's the dealio?
I think you should write a folk song or something because you have
yes.
to make change.
You're
you
right.
Know, and rally the people. Galvanize.
I know Joni Baez is a huge fan
yes.
of Bonaducci and this show.
Get her on this.
She's
she loves Lycus.
I was going to say, bigger Lycus fan, and then just leaves it on.
Yeah, just happens to hear our show.
I don't know which one I know, but I know one Joni. It's either Mitchell or Baez. And they're both folk
singers,
right?
Either one could
right.
do yes. a great folk song
one
about
of them
the
is
need
my sister's
for
neighbor.
Where have all the uprights gone? Long time kicking. Where have all the field goals gone? Long time ago. And then we all join it. Where have all the uprights gone? Gone to indoor arenas and Canadian stadiums, everyone.
Not real fair to say everybody. And then just make up a bunch of words at him.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know what might be? You know what we could do? We could ask Joan Baez.
Every day, 10 children light on fire.
That's your favorite commercial.
Long time passing. Where have all the children gone?
What the hell is this?
They got shot. This is a PSA about where have all the children gone.
Are you telling me gun violence is bad?
I have twins. Every time I come home, I go, hey, where's Sonny? I got shot.
I think you could ask Joni Baez to redo Blowin' in the Wind, because that's on topic.
Right,
sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah, especially kicking out at Soldier Field around this year.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting.
The answer, my friend, is Blowing in the Wind.
Mm. I knew I wanted to be a sound effects guy when Anderson Lumley used to do this during this commercial.
He's cracking me up. All right.
That was the moment.
Hang on. Bald Brian, hang on, because we'll play that PSA with the gunshots when we come back and you'll laugh your morbid ass off. All right, quick break. We're running late. I'll tell you what. We'll do that when we come back.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. You've heard the Ace Man rant on public service announcements.
It's good for the bottle. It's good for the can. I have no idea what that means, by the way. It doesn't make me feel like recycling. It makes me feel like watching copious amounts of gay porn. It's good for the bottle. It's good for the can. My fist is good for your face. Shut up.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, Bald Brian. So the drop that made Bald Brian want to get into radio, and I am so naive that when we used to play this back in the old Loveline days, I actually thought it was just in.
You didn't realize Anderson was adding the gunshots to the PSA?
Well, here's what a horrible person Anderson was. He actually would listen to PSAs. Public service announcements. Now, the reason, as I've said before, back when I used to do Loveline, we were syndicated in like 95 affiliates of stations. And we were on in the middle of the night, and I would hear the local feed. That's what I would hear. And the local feed would only, I should say the national feed. The national feed would only play PSAs. I would hear no commercials.
Oh, okay.
So obviously, if you're on in 100 stations, what do you hear during the commercial break? Well, you don't hear 100 different local commercials for used car dealerships. You just hear PSAs. That's all they would play. So they started driving me insane. And like anything I'm exposed to, eventually I loathe it.
Right.
So I used to hear this one, and I didn't even know the first 10 times I heard it that Anderson was also bored and decided to put in sound effects.
But at least you could get up and walk around and escape. Anderson especially was trapped with headphones on, had to listen to them all the time.
Right.
He's listening to the quality of the show, make sure it's right.
So he's listening to a PSA about young children being victims of gun violence, and decides to spice it up a little himself.
Oh, nice.
And this is what the PSA sounded like.
Every day, 10 children are killed by gunfire.
Where have all the children gone? Long time passing. Where have all the children gone?
I'm not watching Anderson. I'm just taking a leak, hearing it in the hallway, going, oh, edgy.
Really edgy.
I like it, though. It's the first one. Now, effective.
Brian, it's not like you to not put your own Bald Brian spin on it. Is there anything you want to add? Like maybe.
He didn't do the rifle cocks.
The shotgun pump.
I was thinking you might put, like, you know, the crying, Adam's crying baby.
Unacceptable. Actually.
So Bald Brian. Bald Brian sat by Anderson while he played the gunshots going off, and learned at the hem of the master.
Watch and learn. Funny. By the way, we did it with two others. Okay. There was one.
We did gunshots with others?
No. We after some of the other PSAs, one was...
there's got to be some sort of federal regulation about you putting retarded drops over very serious PSAs.
The statute of limitations has long since expired for me, anyway. There was one against pregnant drinking. It was a girl. It was a reenactment of a woman in a bar, and she was like... And the other guy was like, you sure you want to have another one, miss? You look, she's pregnant, and Anderson and everyone would scream into the microphone, last call! And then there's another one where a woman would be doing, a teacher would be doing a roll call of all the kids that had died, because gun violence. She'd be like, Danny Smith? And we would get on the mic and scream, dead! He's dead!
I do miss those days.
Adam Johnson? He died!
Yeah. Good old days. Yeah, just flying under the radar in the middle of the night. Times. No one in the building. Get to screw around and do whatever you want. All right. And, Bald Brian, you didn't happen to grab the actual Peter, Paul, and Mary, yeah. Where of all the... Ah. Now, there's something that's always bugged me as somebody who's has my disorder.
Hypervigilance.
My hypervigilance disorder. Listen to the original song.
You want Joan Baez or Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Peter, Paul, and Mary. That doesn't matter.
He got both, despite his sickness. He's still Johnny on the spot.
Mike and Mike in the background.
Let's hear it.
I think Johnny on the spot's a toilet.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time past me.
Now, just listen to the way they. Just listen to the way they sing this song.
Where have all the flowers gone?
I want to shoot myself now.
Girls have picked them, everyone. Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn?
All right. Now I've officially wasted all your time. Yes, this is what
is
this
your
is
point
why
gone now or
my point,
yeah, point
my point is gone. It is null and void because
what a drag.
I know. I owe everyone within the sound of my voice an apology. My point is null and void. That song
I'm sorry.
That song, there should be a class action lawsuit against Peter, Paul, and Mary. I think it drove my mom to depression in the late 60s and in through the early 70s.
Freak out!
My entire childhood was that song playing and me watching the chick who got her clothes burned off in Vietnam run down the road. That was that. And then every once in a while, I got sweet relief to see an Indian crying by the side of the road.
You throw in an annual viewing of Roots?
Yes.
And you've got
my... That was it. My entire childhood was watching the 52-part miniseries known as Roots and having my mom turn to me and go, do you see how bad we are? We are horrible.
Well,
freak out!
When will they ever learn?
Oh, that was it. Oh. I gotta believe that if I was born in a different time and Lionel Richie was singing about dancing on the ceiling, it would have been a totally different Ace Man. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. T.
Yeah.
What's coming up in the news, baby girl?
Well, here's something that'll amuse your ears.
Why, who dies in this?
Well, Tony La Russa got popped for DUI a while back, but now the audio of the incident has emerged, and wait till you hear his version of the alphabet.
Now, Tony La Russa, the skipper?
Yeah.
Baseball skipper?
Yeah.
Cardinal skipper?
Yep, that's right.
Oh good, because he's kind of a blowhard. And
he,
it's always nice when blowhards
get... He blew
hard
into the breathalyzer.
Awesome. We'll do that next.
We'll scan Craigslist to find out who the F sells this S.
Go to Craigslist and look under loser.
Get our fill of celebrity gossip from the gay gossip queens, Lynn and Alex.
Very artsy.
And talk to comedian Roseanne Barr.
That's a thrill to be out of the house.
Teresa Strasser's got the news. Danny Bonaducci's got a condo.
It's a friggin' myth.
And Adam Carolla has the greatest show in the world. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. Well, the best part of the best show in the world is always this part. That's Teresa Strasser in the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Back in July, the Democratic presidential candidates participated in the first ever CNN YouTube debate, where all of the questions were submitted via video from YouTube users. Last night, The Republican candidates followed suit. There was a lot of talk about the war. There was a lot of talk about immigration. But the guy who really shined last night was the former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee. All the pundits were saying that he really popped off the screen, and they were saying he had the funniest line of the night. Here it is, Anderson Cooper and Mike Huckabee.
Would Jesus support the death penalty?
Jesus was too smart to ever run for public office, Anderson. That's what Jesus would do.
Is he the guy who wants to get rid of the IRS?
I believe he is. He's a
he has my vote.
He has my vote.
Then he mentioned wanting to send, I think it was him that wanted to send Hillary Clinton off to space when they were talking about the space program.
Lose the way, chubby.
Do not care what else he wants to do.
Yeah.
I don't care if his plan is dismantle the IRS and then carpet bomb
Jersey.
Indiana. Right. I don't care. I do not care. I don't care if his plan is get rid of the IRS and then fill the ocean with cement. I do not care.
The IRS.
I just want to get rid of the IRS. Yeah. Yes. All they do is waste money. And there's no way we should be paying. Look, all you know, everyone does this thing where it's like, oh, so you don't think schools should be open or roads should be paved or police should be paid? Yes, I do. I believe we could do that with about 20 to 25% of the money I make, not 45% right. of the money I make. I'm sure there's a good 20% that's wasted. And I have to pay a guy several thousand dollars a year to do a stack of papers that is thicker than Gideon's Bible. I get sent blocks of papers. I mean, they cut, how much of the rainforest gets wasted just doing the long form and the short form and the 1099 and all the other, all that. I mean, it's just way too much. Just
Correction.
Make a flat.
Ron Paul is the guy who wants to get rid of
the IRS. Well, then he has my vote, too.
But
I don't care.
Also,
he makes me nervous, though.
Yes.
He's the only one of the eight candidates debating last night that is against the war. He wants to bring the troops home. But he's also against
Republican.
The IRS.
Do not care. Just want the IRS dismantled. The only problem with any of these things is there should be a law that people over 65 cannot ask questions. Because they don't ask questions, they give long-winded statements about their history.
Right.
There's always that guy who stands up, who's wearing that hat that has all the pins in it, and it's always like, I'm a veteran of the Korean conflict. I served this country proudly for over 40 years. For over 40 years, I wore the uniform, and I wore it with pride. Okay, what's your goddamn question, old-timer? I was stationed in Korea. My wife's name is Emily. God bless her soul. She passed some years ago. She was claimed by shingles. Now, my dog, Sparky, also an American... Also proudly served in the Korean and Vietnam War.
Do you have a question, sir?
Please, sir, I'm a veteran of over 90 years. I served in the Civil War. I wore the Confederate uniform proudly. I wore a three-cornered hat proudly back when the Mayflower first landed on Plymouth Rock. I'm a veteran. I'm an American, and no one wants to tell the old F to move it along, so everyone has to stand there like, all right, look, you don't, when you get old.
Don't chase me, bro.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm a veteran. That would be awesome.
Well, the new YouTube format has removed that. Yeah.
Hook a taser up to the microphone, the one they hand out
right.
in the audience.
Yeah.
When that thing feels the grip of the old timer's hand, you have 25 seconds to spit your question out or the tasing begins.
That's a great idea.
That is a debate I would watch. That guy be up there and he'd be like, I only buy American automobiles because I believe. All right. Sorry, T.
Will you be supporting Ron Paul then?
Yes. He wants to get rid of the IRS.
Yeah.
I support him.
I don't know that he believes in evolution. Is that going to be a problem?
No problem.
I don't care what else he believes in.
Let me tell
if
you something.
He believes monkeys are going to shoot out my butt.
Yes.
And he's going to dismantle the IRS. I'm all good.
Flat tax?
Well, here's the way I feel. First off, if you really want to dismantle the IRS, you are like a super hot chick. And there's people going, you know, she barely graduated high school. Don't care. You know, I heard her make an off-color joke. Don't care. You know she's stupid. Don't care.
She's homophobic and racist.
Do not care and do not care.
I happen to be white.
This trumps everything. This trumps everything.
She drowned her puppy.
Did water off a duck's ass.
Did she
do
drown
not
a doggy
care.
Style?
Do not care.
And then she was bent over the tub while drowning the puppy?
I like the flat tax notion. I really don't know enough to say what the percentage should be or how it should work. All I know is the system we have now is this one big pile of paperwork on top of a bureaucracy, and it needs to be dismantled.
Well, I know enough to know exactly how it should work. They should take less of my money.
That's right. Now, I'm fine with that, too.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, on to something Americans really care about, Dancing with the Stars.
One of my favorites.
24.9 Americans watched on Tuesday night.
Million, I'm assuming
show.
You mean.
Yeah, sorry, 24.9 million watched. And yesterday we were talking about Elio, and we were wondering about him and his dance partner. What was going on with those two, Julianne Hough? Well, they went on The View. And the ladies inquired.
Do you know you're engaged?
Yes.
They do know you're engaged. How does she feel about that big kiss?
She was very upset.
Unnecessarily long.
Yes. She was very upset. But what can I say? We got the trophy. Just kidding about it. No, she's very supportive. Let me tell you, it was great. I mean, she met actually Julianne. I'm sure Julianne's going to end up, teaching some moves as well.
At the wedding,
good.
Okay. Well,
I have
later.
No idea what happened.
He was saying that he's still engaged and they just had a kiss. And then later, the same day, he was on Extra confirming reports that he had broken up with his fiance.
It was the beginning of something, but unfortunately, beyond that point, there was already a time to go. So you know what? It is what it is.
The old, it is what it is.
Well, this is bound to happen, is it not?
You take a
stunning woman, this woman is 19 and as poised as I've ever seen and stunning looking, and you guys are basically sweating on each other for 9.5 weeks. I mean, you're literally just spending hours upon hours upon hours together, wrapped in each other's arms, and this is a beautiful, beautiful woman. I mean, how long before the chemistry starts to turn into something else.
And part of the dance, for sure, to win, is when you're doing certain kind of dances, is the romantic gaze.
Right.
You stare at each other, the dramatic pauses.
Right.
So, you're bound to make, if there's anything to the theory of pheromones, you're leaking them into each other.
I feel just the way human nature is, and, I'm not proud of this, but if you hooked me up with Joey Buttafuoco, and gave us some Capizios and rented out some dance studio, we'd be lovers inside of 10 weeks.
Yeah, something would have to happen.
You'd have to be. You're two moving as one.
It makes me nervous because my girlfriend and I are still at the stage where she listens to every single word of the show. Yeah, I know it's a problem. But depending on who I meet, where, when, and how, my answer for how serious my relationship with Amy is changes.
Sure.
I'm not stupid. I am not going to limit my possibilities, and I think almost all men are only as faithful as their options. And so, I've been given more options than are fair.
Do we think Helio is now with her?
Well, nobody's saying why they broke up, but it sounds like he gave her the brush off after he started doing the show, and his fiance is quoted as saying, "I haven't talked to him in 2 months. I'm devastated. I came out here for the first episode of Dancing and haven't seen him since." She was not at the finale.
Hold on. Wow. I think, do we have Whoopi, by the way, Bald Brian?
What?
Okay. All right, forget it. You're sick.
Oh.
It's all right, buddy.
Sorry, buddy.
Well, the scuttlebutt is clearly that is what broke up the relationship.
Yeah, scuttlebutt would be the first dance move I'd like to do with her.
The scuttlebutt.
Bill taught it to me over the weekend.
That would be your first.
I said, how about we start with the Lindy? He said, how about we start with the scuttlebutt?
Right.
I said, how's it go? And then I said, where are you? And then I said, ow. And then I went, oh. And then I popped an amyl popper and we drank a wine cooler and called it a night.
This is the June butt.
Scuttlebutt.
You've got to have crisp footwork when you're doing that scuttlebutt.
Yes, you do. All right, what's next,
and
baby girl?
And a good sense of humor.
What's next is St. Louis Cardinals manager Tony La Russa. He was popped for DUI last March.
You're an alcoholic.
He blew a .09 in Florida. That's over the legal limit. Here is newly released police audio of him trying to recite the alphabet while intoxicated.
R-S-T-U-V-V-Z-T-U-V-X-Y-X-Z.
Sound good.
0.09? Wrong! What a wuss.
0.09, yeah.
0.093.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. Maybe he was really tired. About the only excuse I can make.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a blowhard. He's one of these guys who takes his sport a little too seriously. Baseball players kind of do that. They overcompensate because it's a non-sport. Now, those of you who have a problem with that, just look into the dugout on any baseball game and see how much eating is going on. Yes, there's a whole bunch of guys trying to stay busy because it's boring, so they have to get rituals that involve sunflower seeds and turning their hats inside out, hanging around and playing grab ass.
Yep.
Now, go to a basketball game or go to a football game. When they go to the sideline, what do? Well, they're either warming up, they're either sucking on an oxygen tank. Do they have oxygen in baseball? No.
Nope.
There's never a 400-pound black guy sweating his ass off, sucking.
I'm pretty sure they don't even use oxygen.
Trying to get his gas back.
No.
You go to the sideline of football, what do you got? You have four or five coaches with headsets and clipboards frantically pacing around yelling at people. You have a 400-pound black guy sucking on oxygen. You have two other guys riding stationary bikes. And then the T.O. is getting into a fist fight with his quarterback because he threw a pick the last time they're out there. And then third guy's looking at pictures that were taken from the booth, and they're examining the lineup of the defense and what coverage you're in. That's what it looks like on the sideline of a football field. Baseball, bunch of Dominicans making pyramids out of sunflower seed husks. Yes.
Yes.
Trying to figure out a way to entertain themselves because they're not doing anything.
Because the game is so boring.
Yes, and plus there's a fat pitcher who's wearing a windbreaker who started the night before, who's not going to pick up a ball for another 3 days, and he has to figure out a way to not only keep his status of morbidly obese, but to entertain himself for the next 3.5 hours while nothing happens.
They should raise the goalposts. That's the answer.
Danny's right.
Okay,
all sports, that's my new answer.
Can Schlitz ruin a marriage?
Mm.
Well, one man is alleging that it's ruined his, and he's suing Schlitz.
Depends on who Schlitz it is.
Gets even better. Now, here's another story out of your favorite state of Florida, Adam. Back in 2003, a man named Olester Duncan of Orange Park, Florida, was at an Albertsons grocery store. He decided to buy a 4-pack of Schlitz malt liquor. Yeah, as he reached up to grab the Schlitz, one of the cans from the 4-pack was loose.
Mm.
And it fell and hit him on the head. Now, 4 years later, Olester is suing the store, the beer distributor, and the brewing companies behind Schlitz. He claims the 4-pack was defective, improperly packaged, and improperly stored in the cooler. According to the lawsuit, the falling can caused him to sustain serious and grievous injuries, pain and suffering, disability, disfigurement, mental anguish, and the loss of capacity for the enjoyment of life. His wife, Maria Duncan, is also in on the lawsuit, claiming that she, quote, has in the past and will in the future suffer the loss of the value of her husband's services, society, companionship, and consortium by reason of his injuries.
He went to the law firm of Pabst Blue and Ribbon, who specialize in malt liquor-related lawsuits.
Right.
What the hell?
Well, don't you think maybe the fact that he was named after the stuff that makes you involuntarily poop could have given him a lifelong scarring right there?
It sounds like Olestra.
His name is Olestra.
It's Olestra, but it's close.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very
Could
close.
Have been Graham Wellington.
Yeah.
I sure wonder what like this that. Guy, let's all close our eyes and imagine what this guy was pulling down a year other than the malt liquor. Do we know what this guy's gig was?
We don't know. We don't know what he did for a living.
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm feeling generous.
Yeah.
I'm guessing his gig was to cup the scrotum of the janitor while he mopped.
Wow.
The actual guy just stands next to him and cups that. I did that for a while, couple of years out of high school. Obviously, he did nothing. I don't know if you could assign a beverage to a pay stub.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
I would probably have, champagne somewhere at the top. I don't know where malt liquor falls on that, but somewhere between high C and Sterno.
I will tell you, if there's anything that has made me want to drink lately, it has been the new combination of energy drinks and malt liquor.
Wow.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's called, the one I've seen is called Sparks. And it looks just like a regular energy drink, except it's 7% alcohol, which is a lot stronger than beer. Now, I'm not a beer drinker, but I am an energy drinker, a drink drinker, and an alcoholic.
Mm.
You're combining, like, two of my favorite things. If they had sex jump out of that can, there would be no way I could resist.
I got to tell you, speaking of sex, I just started thinking, you know, once in a while I think, you know, Teresa yesterday was doing the news. She was talking about YouPorn being such a big site, big new site. Everyone's seeing the porn on YouPorn.
Right to it.
And I started thinking, you know, and I've always speculated, like, wow, could you imagine you're 13 years old, young boy coming into adolescence and adulthood, and there they have YouPorn. I mean, it was all we could do to get a Sears catalog and go for the bra section, you know. Can you imagine now? Imagine the energy drinks being combined with the abundance of pornography. Now, when I was a kid, it wasn't that long ago, kids didn't drink coffee. That was grown-up. That was grown-up food. You're not allowed to drink coffee. You'd keep coffee away. As a matter of fact, coffee had about the same stigma that alcohol had. If you walked into the kitchen at age 12 and poured yourself a nice cup of joe, it'd be like, whoo-hoo. What are you doing, son? We don't do that.
Yeah.
So now, no more stigma. And not only that, certainly none with the Red Bull and all the other energy drinks. So you see this thing, it's a 24-ounce tall boy of a nitro energy drink. You mix the 13-year-old kid with that and the YouPorn, you have yourself a very potent combination there, my friend. I mean, you have a super Mick Wackenstein there. You have a turbocharged, masturbatory, a spiral that ends I know not where.
How is this going to affect the generation that's growing up now?
I imagine we will adapt.
Yeah.
I imagine not only will our right hand get larger in order to hold the supersized
monster
what
can.
Now will be 55-gallon drums
right.
of energy drink, but we'll actually have an orifice in our belly that dispenses Kleenex. We will become a generation of super masturbators.
Probably your skin will become more calloused in certain areas to be able to sustain the activity.
We will have a gator. We'll have a gator-like back on us. You'll be able to make belts and shoes out of us when we're done. No, nay, you're wrong, T.
No.
Why?
Why?
Because your big toe will dispense Jergens lotion.
Right.
Thus staying supple. This is the future, now, everybody.
Do you think that you will, because porn has advanced, if you will, rather remarkably.
Mm-hmm.
Amy just brought her stuff over from her old apartment. We now officially live together, and a lot of my porn was there because I wasn't allowed to bring it home. And I snapped one in, so to speak, and I forgot how great some of them are. I did not make it through the coming attractions. Literally.
Well, yeah.
Movie did not start. It got to the scenes. And here's another thing. It says chapter selections. You can even just watch the parts of the porn that you really like best. You don't have to sit through anything anymore.
Oh, this conversation, when I have this with Sonny in about 11 months, it is going to be, you know, when it's appropriate. He's only a year and a half now. But when I explain to him where porn has gone and where it's going.
When daddy was your age, he didn't have Jergens coming out of his toe.
No. I had a leather hamper. You understand, son? I wiped myself with bark. I had to wait. I had to lie on my back in an open field and wait till clouds took the shape of boobies. That's all. That's all we had. Sure, we had some charcoal drawings of naked women, but that's about as far as it went. They were riding buffalo.
One time, two zeppelins came by simultaneously. They looked like boobs. That's what we waited for.
Well, that's all you had, and that's all I have. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Elmo.
Elmo.
So cute.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Speaking of cute, Dana Gould.
He is a cutie.
Teresa thought it was wildly inappropriate of me to ask him what he paid for his kids last time he was in here.
I was so uncomfortable because adoptive parents, I think, really are very uncomfortable with that kind of talk.
Are they?
I think so. We can ask Dana, but I saw him cringing a little bit.
All right.
But I like that you said that you had paid for your kids, too, because of some fertility treatments.
That's right.
Well, yeah, it made me feel better about
Everyone who has kids has to pay for them.
I fully plan on having fertility problems myself.
The uncomfortable question is not how much did you pay for your children. It's how much do you think you can get for them?
Yes.
That is an uncomfortable question.
Both sides.
Good point. All right. We will take ourselves a break. Dana Gould, comedian Dana Gould, in studio next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
They overturn Roe v. Wade. What happens? Abortion goes back to the states. Some states will make abortion illegal. Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina. Why do they want those states to outlaw abortion? It's simple. More inbred children. Now, I don't think I'm being unfair when I say that everybody from the South is a sister-banging hillbilly. Now, why do they want more inbred children? Why? It's simple. Southern domination of the Special Olympics. That's what this whole thing is about.
And now, comedian Dana Gould on the Adam Carolla Show.
Never thought about that.
You know, when you see me live, I don't say sister banging.
Uh-huh.
No?
That was a very, that was a long time. How can I not? How can I not say this?
You use the F word instead?
I do. Daughter.
F-word. Really?
Dana Gould in studio. Dana's
going
to be at Giggles Comedy Club. And why not just upgrade to guffaw or laugh?
I disagree. Giggles, I believe in truth in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
If you come, mm-hmm. there'll be giggles.
Okay.
I'm not playing hysterics.
Right.
You know, gut busters.
Right. It's not right. Laughs.
Giggles.
Right. Yeah, you're not going to be at Hernia's this Friday?
I drove down here. I drove down La Brea. You know what I passed? A strip joint called Crazy Girls.
Yes.
Truth in advertising. Yes. You go in there, you will see Crazy Girls.
I like that. So if you go to Giggles Comedy Club,
yeah.
And that's in Seattle. Now, above Seattle will become Canada, where they have a chain of clubs called Yuck Yucks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How do you do truth in advertising there? Can you guarantee
two yucks? You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You will never find a strip joint called Rational Cold-Eyed Business Women.
Mm. I had a small, short-lived chain called Survivors of Incest.
Yeah, that's
and strip just club. Did not
truth in advertising. That is truth in advertising.
Did not go over well. Yeah, Crazy Girls. And by the way, what do you have to do to be rejected from Crazy Girls? You know what I mean? That's got to be a bitter pill to swallow.
You end up working at Molesty Uncles.
I put in one of the most damaging things that ever happened to my psyche is I put an application into the North Hollywood Taco Bell in 1979 and was turned away. Evidently was not up to the challenge of making bean burritos in front of the place that had the huge fire pit in front of it.
I was fired by the Catholic Church. The organization that protects pedophiles fired me.
What do they have against you, Dana?
I was in high school. I was what's called a lector, which is that you read during the mass.
Right? Really?
Yeah. A reading from the book of Jacob.
You're one of those guys who got twisted.
The lotion in the bath.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Damn it. But it was a very small town, and everybody knew me. And I was always funny, and people would just, they just start laughing. Like,
then once you're breaking it up that way.
Yeah, and I never did, but it was just like, it does. It's like if you see a comedian try to do something straight, you can
What small town are you from?
I am from Hopedale, Massachusetts.
And it was so small that people knew each other, the community
everybody knew each other.
Everybody
knew. 53 students in my graduating class in high school.
Crazy.
As slow as mine.
The other famous member of Hope,
Son of Hopedale?
Son of Hopedale. Thank
yes.
you. Aerosmith's Joe Perry.
Wow.
His mom was the gym teacher at high school.
So it goes Dana Gould, Joe Perry, as you're driving in and you pass the rotary sign.
Exactly. Home of.
You know,
yes.
As the towns get smaller, the walk of fame gets a little easier to get on. No offense.
Yes.
But my wife, by sheer fact that she married a B-lister, mm-hmm. is on the walk of fame of Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that counts.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the things that sucks about growing up in Los Angeles. There's no local boy makes good.
Right.
Nobody cares. No. I've never been interviewed by any local newspaper.
The LA Times, your hometown paper.
Based on, I've done articles, you know what, I don't know that I've been, oh, I probably have, but it's never based on, it's only based on, hey, this guy's on Loveline, or this guy's on The Man Show, or this guy has his own radio show. It's never been like, this guy's a local guy who made good. And if you are a smaller celebrity, you can be from a smaller town, and you can get the key to the city. And by the way, they still do that?
Yes.
So I feel like Dana Gould could definitely get the keys of the city. But you know what I would like them on?
It's a
one of those huge retractable janitor chains. Like, what happened? Well, I got the key to the city, but then the janitor thing fell over and crushed my leg.
It's so big, they're always borrowing it to pull trucks out of the reservoir.
You're right. You know, think about it. I have not been given the key to a city in 35 years, because that's what they used to do.
If
they
really
did that, and they were these giant fake keys.
If the Corollas...
Take the keys of the city away from Bonaducci. I don't like
he's going to rob the place. Look what happened to
him. He's doing coke off the key to the city.
It's not the key low to the city, Danny.
If my dad had stayed in Menomonee, Wisconsin, where God had wanted him, I would return like MacArthur returning to the Philippines every year. There'd be ticker tape parades for me.
Would there be a burger named after you?
Yes, there'd be sandwiches at the deli, although they don't allow Jews over there, so I don't know what they need with brisket. Hey, Dana Gould?
Playing giggles?
Yeah, I'm playing giggles. Some men, I had to tell my kids this morning, some daddies go off to war. I'm going to giggles.
That's right.
In Seattle.
That's right.
Do they cry?
That's, why are you going to
That's why
to
you're part of the funniest generation.
Tom Brokaw's doing it. Tom Brokaw's interviewing comedians, and it's just people giving him crap because he can't say L.
Right.
Boy, when he saw the news story of the Achille Lauro come over the ticker tape, he wanted to jump out a window. The Achille Lauro. Wow, Jesus.
Dana Gould. Dana's going to hang out with us, and I'll tell you what he's going to help us do. We are going to pull a cluster F on Huelhauser. We have some Huelhauser
sister
footage.
Sister banging on Huelhauser.
That's right. It's going to be a Huelhauser gang rape in here. Huel,
wow.
Local boy makes good, Huelhauser. He's been a fixture out here in Southern California for what seems like 180 years. I feel like he was on TV like 10 minutes before TV was invented. I grew up watching this guy. He's on public television
this
out here.
This is amazing.
He hits the road with his microphone and his trusty man pal, cameraman Louie, and they go to places you never want to go and talk to people you hope you never see again. Should we play a clip?
What are all these specks on the top of the water?
It's actually salt, Huel. We're seeing salt particles coming up to the top. Look at your hands. We're already covered in
They're white. So are my knees. So are my feet. This salt has a way of sneaking up on you.
I feel like Jesus. If I gave him a starfish, he could stare at it for 1,000 years. There's nothing that he can't get excited about.
I'm betting money he stared at Louis' starfish a couple of times.
This is going to be interesting.
I love nice. I make fun of Huel, but I'm secretly jealous.
Yes, I know. Not even that secretly sometimes.
No, I wish I had his enthusiasm and
his sense of childlike wonder.
Yes. Oh, well,
it's been stolen from us.
That's what I
want.
Oh,
boy.
Cuz we're so jaded. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We see, like, you crack open a magazine, you see a hovercraft that's made by Ferrari that's also a sex partner, and and you go, I guess it's okay. It's not the color I like. Huel can stare at an old-timer who has a coffee can filled with gravel and marvel at it
this
for hours.
This is absolutely spectacular.
Look at that cloud. Looks like a bunch of fluffy cotton.
All of this almost too exciting to bear.
Play Huel with the old-timer. Do you have him with the old-timer and the gravel?
The box of rocks.
He talked to a guy who was 150 years old who had a dirt lawn in the middle of a dust bowl about gravel and was blown away by it.
Tell me about all these rocks.
Yeah. It's rocks that I picked up over a period of years. It's been a few years since I've done it.
Wow, this is amazing. You've got little rocks, big rocks. Oh, yeah. Look at this one.
What is this?
It's a medium-sized rock. Yeah.
You've got coffee cans full of rocks over here.
I'm going to guess that Huel gets more ass than a toilet seat.
Oh, yeah. Huel does just fine.
Because he knows the secret. Asking them about them and being impressed with everything. Yeah. Look, your shirt is held together with these round buttons.
Right.
That's amazing. Yeah,
it is true.
You know, I have a lot of shirts like that, actually.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Could you imagine if Huel gets whipped up talking to an 80-year-old about gravel. Could you imagine if he was ever behind the mic in an event like the Hindenburg going down or something? Would something actually happen? Like when some guy hit a home run in the seventh inning of the World Series or something? I mean, he would probably be screaming like that Mexican soccer guy yells goal, and that would just go on for 1,000 years continuously.
Or if he had no idea to modulate his emotion, like if he was in New York on 9/11, he'd be like, this is, the buildings were there and now they're not. This is amazing. No, it's terrible, Huel. Stop. Unplug your wonder. Unplug your wonder.
You're saying he only has one tone.
He has wonderment. Yes.
Yeah. All right. And the plane was there, and then it just disappeared.
Amazing.
People are dead.
Boy, I hope I see this in every city I go to.
Wow. There are buildings like that in Century City, California. I'm going to go out there next. No, you don't want this to happen.
People listening to the sound of my voice should commandeer commercial aircraft and go ahead and fly them into public spaces. Louis, would that be awesome?
You saying you did that with nothing but a box cutter?
A box cutter.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Amazing.
You're laying down 80 flights.
That would be when Huel Houser goes to interviews people in hell. So what did you do again?
I was Pol Pot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I had this thing called the Killing Field. The Killing Field. Tell me about that.
Ethnic cleansing. How does that work? Get me some?
I'm a neat nut, too. Tell me about ethnic cleansing.
Huel Houser in hell.
Little people.
I'm always, you know what I do? I will wash my sponges. I'm also a neat nut. What's ethnic cleansing?
What? Slavery on the black market seems like a contradiction of terms.
Is that a George Carlin joke? I love him.
The Khmer Rouge. It sounds like makeup.
What is involved with putting lead in children's toys? And how do I get me some? All right. Huel Houser in hell, everyone. Dana Gould is going to hang out. I'm guessing.
Wasn't that a book by Norman Mailer?
Dana Gould, Huel Houser in hell. I'm guessing he's not out of thoughts about Huel. We'll play Huel in Death Valley, the appropriately named Death Valley. Actually, any valley he goes to. If he goes to the San Fernando Valley, it becomes the Death Valley.
Huel Houser at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Death Valley. If he goes to Monument Valley, it becomes Death Valley. We'll take a break. Huel, next.
To the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time to break down another episode of Huel Houser's California's Gold. On this episode, it's springtime in Death Valley.
Anything's possible in Death Valley.
That's right.
Amazing. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Again, secretly jealous of Huel, not only because of his sense of wonder and amazement, but because he doesn't have to agonize over being entertaining or funny or compelling or anything else. There's nothing that hits the edit room floor except for the feet of the editor. Everything goes. And I'm talking about technical glitches as well. I think I made it up talking about Huel 6 months ago. He had a conversation with a guy at a diner on a cell phone or stationary line. Either way, the guy wasn't mic'd. It was
You only heard Huel.
Oh, I play it every time, but I'm going to play it one more time for Dana Gould. This is him at the legendary Baghdad Cafe, speaking to the owner of the cafe via telephone.
Howdy, how you doing? Well, we're just doing an interview here, finding out about the Baghdad Cafe.
Oh, it gets better.
Is that picture in there of Burt Lancaster?
Why is there a portrait of Burt Lancaster in here on the wall of the Baghdad Cafe?
And this aired?
Oh, you just bought it. Oh, yeah. He's never actually been here.
Burt Lancaster's never been there.
They just hung it up.
Now, look.
Well, it looks good.
If you have bosses and sponsors and people paying money, and you go out and shoot footage of you talking to a guy on a phone and then bringing up a picture of Burt Lancaster, who's never been in to your establishment, guess what? That gets edited out.
You can trim that back.
Yeah. That may make the long string out cut, but eventually somebody's going to raise their hand and go, let's pare this down. Now, we got to tighten it up.
He clearly was not in the Baghdad Cafe on Castro in San Francisco. None of you girls have a date.
I want to be fair to Huell because that was just the audio portion of it. If you were watching on TV, it was very excited. If you've ever seen a 7-foot guy wearing waffle stompers and cargo shorts talking on a telephone pole, talking on a telephone in front of 9 old-timers staring into eggs waiting to die.
Yeah.
I mean, you really haven't lived. With a picture, I don't know if you've ever seen a photograph of Burt Lancaster. Yeah. It's quite striking.
When Huell goes on the road, there's a U-Haul behind him. It's just all cargo shorts.
Waffle stompers and cargo shorts. Oh, another great mall store.
In Death Valley? I've got to know.
Yes. All right. Shall we start it with Huell setting it up?
Hello, everybody. I'm Huell Hauser. Welcome to Death Valley, this huge national park, over 3.3 million acres, where the temperature gets up to over 130 degrees in the summertime, and they have an annual rainfall rate of less than 2 inches. That's not very much rain. That's why we're here. We're going to spend 2 days in Death Valley to see firsthand how this place has been transformed not only into a springtime wonderland, but a fine example of California's gold.
I would love to have been there 100 years ago when the founders got together and named Death Valley. Like, look, it's way too hot here to rely on any kind of industry or income whatsoever. Tourism is really going to be our claim to fame. Yeah. Now we need a name, something catchy, something that'll bring people in from miles away.
How about Smallpoxville?
decent.
Cancer County?
Okay, now we're getting closer.
I know we've been calling this place Buttercup Junction, but it just doesn't feel like it fits it.
Bob, I think I got it. Everyone, put your pens down. Right. Let's break for lunch. Dry anal rapeville.
Wow.
I think we can.
There is already one.
Oh, wow. Damn it. No alliteration.
See, every good idea has been taken.
Remember?
The typhoid town. You want the alliteration.
Aidsburg.
That's when Seth left the caravan. Remember, he didn't want to leave.
AIDS County, Aidsburg, Aidsville, AIDS something. Nah, damn it.
Petticoat Junction.
How about we just settle on Death Valley?
Yeah.
All right. That'll bring people in. So Huell is in Death Valley.
What do you do for 2 days with film? You've got a film camera there, and it's called Death Valley. So you have to assume not a lot moves in Death Valley. What does he take pictures of? Because I've only heard the audio.
Well, that is neither here nor there to Huell. I mean,
it doesn't matter to Huell at all.
Again, not to hit the same note every time I come in here, but if you've ever seen the first 20 minutes of Planet of the Apes, where they're just walking through the desert.
That's what it is.
Look at that. That's a beige rock.
Yes. It's the best part of Planet of the Apes because that's where Chuck Heston is at his best.
Yes.
He's trapped on a desert rock with 5 other guys, and time has passed. It's thousands of years in the future, and he is mocking all the other guys who survived the crash with him.
He's really ragging on the other astronauts. He goes to the guy in front of him. Your loved ones are dead and forgotten for 20 centuries.
Everything you've ever known or loved is turned to dust. Starts laughing. It's like, hey, buddy, you're bringing me down just a little bit.
By the way, you're the captain of the mission. Aren't you in charge of morale?
And we took a vote. We're about to consume you. Me and the black guy with the beard who looks like G.I. Joe's buddy, we're about to smash your head with a rock and eat your ass if you keep this up.
Does it bother anybody as much as Huell that Dana and Adam know this much about the opening 20 minutes of Planet of the Apes?
I want to say, in mine Dana's defense, like, we don't always cuddle when we're watching Planet of the Apes together.
I think we do share a TV blanket.
It's our huggy bookie. What are you going to do?
Just tear a TV blanket?
All right, let's keep going with Huel. Where's he next? Ah, he's in the dry lake bed. That's scintillating.
The silver dry lake. It's just a beautiful sight to behold. If this is any indication of the beauty and the kinds of surprises that await us deeper into Death Valley, well, actually, we hadn't even gotten to Death Valley yet. If this is any indication of what lies ahead, we are in for a truly spectacular adventure. And here comes a helicopter overhead.
Wow. It's like seeing the world through the eyes of a newborn in a 250-pound ex-Marine body. What a life.
Are you all having as much fun as we are learning about this kind of stuff?
I like the fact that he is going to show wonderment at a place called Death Valley and actually starts before he gets there. We're not even there yet, and look what we're seeing.
What surprises are in store? There are no surprises. It's in the title. Death.
Yeah. It's going to be dry and hot.
Yeah, death by lack of water.
Yes.
High noon. I wonder what time the gunfight starts. High noon, Huel. It's in the title.
Huel spots a wildflowers by the side of the road in this next clip.
We are never going to get there if we keep stopping like this, but this is our first honest-to-goodness Death Valley wildflower sighting. And for those of you who know about such things, I'm sure you'll recognize what this is. I don't know, and I don't have a book to look it up, and we're not going to be hooking up with the ranger until tomorrow. We're going to get the official wildflower tour tomorrow, but we just had to stop and look at these beautiful yellow flowers just kind of hanging here on the side of Highway 147.
You know,
he's on the side of a road.
I don't think there's a court in the country that would convict a trucker who swerved just a little bit. It's like Huel and Louie. And by the way, he said he's not going to see the ranger until tomorrow. I think he sees him tonight.
I think they're going to hook up tonight.
I believe he did say hook up.
Yeah, he did.
This appears to be a human skeleton and some chalk outline. Now, what are those little lizards called?
I was thinking about, somebody told us that Louie, his old cameraman, passed on, which meant he had to get a new cameraman, or maybe not. I feel like Huel could work with a dead cameraman. No problemo.
I think he could just put the camera on sticks. Be his own camera.
Louie, are you getting a shot of this? Louie, you sly dog playing it pretty close to the vest today, are you? With your maggot hat. Come on, Louie. What? Your arm came off. All right, Louie, well, I guess we'll have to use the beta cam. You drive the SUV. I'm taking a nap.
There must be a cold cut factory around here because something, man.
Weekend at Louie's. Come on, Louie.
Because, I mean, I think the man has proven he's not incredibly observant.
Right.
He's at he's still not at the place he is going.
Yeah, I don't know. Louie could have passed on in the mid-'80s, and Huel only started to get wise around 99, 2000.
It's basically the mother in Psycho. It's basically Mrs. Bates.
The exotic yellow flowers are on the side of a highway. What are the odds? They're daisies.
Yeah, exactly.
And he just can't get until he hooks up with the ranchers.
When Huel's alone, is like, what do you think of these wildflowers, Louie? Huel, they're dirty, like those women, Huel. No, Louie, don't make me pull the flowers out of the road.
I was thinking about the new cameraman. It'd be great if you got the new camera, because these guys are guns for hire. They move from gig to gig. It's like, what was your last gig? I was doing night calls on Playboy for about 9 seasons.
Yeah.
Where are we going? We're going out to San Onofre to stare at sand. Can you imagine the sobering daylight that this guy would experience? All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Good news, though, more Huell Hauser to go. Dana Gould, the great Dana Gould, is going to regale us with more Planet of the Apes stories.
I actually have a question for Dana that I'd like to ask when we come back about Carson Daly going back to work.
Okay. Ooh. Oh, that's right. I'm on strike. I forgot.
That's right.
That's Dana, my throbbing feet.
Dana Gould, Giggles Comedy Club in Seattle, Washington. That is tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. Well, I'll ask him about that because I've heard a little fallout, but I haven't talked to too many people about it yet. And more Huell next. We'll get lost.
Oh, my God. Did you really just hang up on Ann Coulter?
Yes.
Coulter?
I'm tight on time, too, and I don't have time for bitches, so let's move on.
That was the only interview with Ann Coulter that she didn't say something offensive.
Which interview will take home the ace this year? Find out December 13th, the 2007 Ace Awards on The Adam Carolla Show.
I don't know why, but when I hear the sing-songy tone from the postmenopausal coos, the hair, the back of my neck stands up.
That's Anne thinking on her feet. So did you just randomly dial? No. My publicist emailed it to me. Where to think on your feet?
Technically, I was CC'd. Other people were also notified. Yes. Yeah.
So many places you could have gone with that. Actually, yes.
Dana Gould, I know. What is
First
it?
First rule of improv, never say no.
Yes, and.
Agree and add information.
Dana Gould is in the studio. You can watch him plying his trade at Giggles Comedy Club in Seattle, Washington. That would be tomorrow. Friday and Saturday. Doing the Lord's work, bringing home the bacon for his beautiful kids. How are the kids doing?
Kids are hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
The other day, nothing more exciting than hearing someone talk about their kids.
I don't mind.
We're not a particularly religious household.
Mm-hmm.
But my in-laws are very religious, so we had to say grace at Thanksgiving, which kind of confused the kids a little bit because we're heathens. Mm-hmm. And then the day after Thanksgiving, we're just having dinner, and my kids are 5 and 3, and my five-year-old picks up a gourd from the centerpiece and holds it to her head like a phone and goes, her sister's name is Alice. Jesus, Alice has been a bad girl. Could you send her to jail? Thanks.
Wow.
And then, to my delight, hung up the gourd.
Wow.
Very now, nice.
Can I ask you this? I don't know where you think you got your sense of humor, but I'm guessing.
Oh, I know where I get my sense of humor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Some nature, some nurture, or
oh,
all
no,
nurture?
Oh, no, nurture. My family, they're all really funny.
Oh, they're all funny.
Yeah, very funny.
All right. So now, because you purchased your family, just do it because it horrifies Teresa. You will not be able to pass along that wonderful comedic gene to them.
See, now here's where you get into the weird thing. And I was actually funny. I was talking about this last night. I was having dinner with Tanya Roberts at the Popeye's Chicken at Cahuenga in Hollywood.
And you guys were discussing your wonderful senses of humor.
Yeah. It's really great. my 5-year-old, there's no way that we weren't supposed to be
together.
Yeah, because incredibly compatible sense of humor. Five years old, but has bits.
Can I ask? Well, that's good.
Yeah. What kind of bits does she have?
So it's kismet.
The Jesus thing with the gourd.
Yeah, and she knows when something's funny. She'll say something funny and laugh.
Okay, so can I pose this question to the room before we get back to making fun of Huell Hauser? So there's nature and then there's nurture. Now, most of the guys I know who have a good sense of humor either just got it genetically or had it installed via a Catholic system that sort of, upbringing that went wrong.
Yeah, I think that played into my family.
Right. Now, you're obviously not going to be able to pass along the genes. And as far as the crazy Catholicism that went wrong, you won't be able to pass that, or you choose, thankfully, not to pass that along.
I'm shielding it as much as I can.
So the third option is just being next to someone who has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, but I think that's true, because you learn your vocal rhythms, you learn from the people that you're around. And if you're just funny in the way you think, I think that's learned behavior.
Right, but is that something that you could pass on, say, not just the sense of humor, but the ability to make money at it. Because you don't, your children, I believe, are Chinese, is that correct?
Yeah, they're Asian. They will go to UCLA and go into medicine.
Right. See, I don't see a lot of Chinese
Wait a minute.
Comics.
Hold on a second.
That's nature.
Hey, Margaret Cho, there's a new sheriff in town. I feel like she's been right for the picking for a long time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Huell Hauser is where we're at. Dana Gould, again, Giggles Comedy Club coming up this weekend in beautiful Seattle, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where were we? Ah, that's right. Huell's in Death Valley. Now, this is the best part of the show. Huell talks to an old man about wildflowers.
We've met an honest-to-goodness Shoshone local. Your name is?
George Ross. I always says.
Nice to meet you, sir. Oh, you've lived here all your life.
Yes, sir.
Well, tell us about these wildflowers. When was the last time they were this beautiful?
The last time was 1974 when it rained a whole month. I was down in La Puente then, but still, I was up here.
Yeah.
I was just back and forth.
So that's been over 30 years ago.
Yes, it has.
Doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, it don't.
I bet that guy looks like a Boda bag. Imagine a guy.
Looks like a pile of peppers.
Spent the last 80 years in Death Valley.
Louis met him in purgatory. Turns out they're both dead.
He married a saddle.
they had
two moccasins
and a
loafer.
Looks like a Halloween pumpkin on November 6th.
Huell, when will it end? Well, not now, because Huell is going to talk to a guy about getting a little lodging.
Well, this whole trip was kind of spur of the moment, so we didn't have a chance to make any reservations, and everything is totally booked up in Death Valley itself at the Furnace Creek Inn and all the other facilities. So we have had to drive quite
Hell
a few
hole
miles
has no
out of
vacancy.
Our way to a place
Creek.
Called State
Beelzebub's
Nevada,
is packed to capacity. The hubs of hell.
Just talked over a major plot point.
What
he has
happened?
To stay
the funky
elsewhere.
Load is booked.
Where's he staying?
Elsewhere in Nevada somewhere.
Right on the border between Nevada and California. We're going to be spending the night in the Long Street Casino. The only question that remains to be answered is, what is that big cow doing here? I have a feeling it's going to be a long night in State Line.
Huell, that big cow is my mother-in-law. Yeah. She's playing nickel slots.
That
I'd appreciate it if you could stay away from the oxygen tank.
That big cow's pimp is around the corner, and you better pony
Wait
up.
Wait a minute. This guy goes to Death Valley for 2 days and makes a big deal out of it and is staying in a hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be camping.
I was, the whole setup was he was kidding. We're going to go and meet a ranger. Here's the empty night.
I met a girl in the casino, and I was cold, and I just kept hugging her tight and squeezing her tight, and she won't wake up, Louie. You got to come in my room.
I just wanted to pet her.
She won't wake up.
She's so soft.
And then he just snaps into it. All right, cut her up and get some lie. Really, once he hugs a hooker to death, he becomes really cold blooded. All right, I need a sharp knife and some lies.
Louie, call Mr. Wolf.
Yeah, call the front desk. Tell him we need a late checkout. Call Mr. Wolf.
But where's it? What if Huell
rent the
wanted,
room next to us and keep it empty?
Imagine a look on Louie's face when Louie's like, so. Where do we get our rooms? Under the stars. We bivouac here.
Mr. Hauser, I'm old.
I hope you brought your bedroll. I got a pup tent, but there's room enough for the two of us. Oh, dear God. I'm sleeping in the van.
Yeah.
It's Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah. I'm covered in brown recluse spiders.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I like the idea that Huell petted someone too hard and killed them.
I like the Steinbeck touch that you brought.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Huell's next clip. This
Wake
is where
up.
He wades into the lake.
I'm taking off my shoes because I want to see what is this going to feel like walking out in it?
Salty. Saltier than the ocean, saltier than the Great Salt Lake. It's saturated with salt. We haven't exactly measured it, but it's about as salty as you can get.
So this is saltier than the Great Salt Lake.
Oh, definitely.
Wow.
What substance
well,
are we talking about?
It feels just like water, though.
Yeah, you see, salt, it's not a very plentiful mineral. You know what I mean? It can only be found in certain parts of the plant.
That was one of his better wows.
That was a great wow.
What I gotta tell you is, if we didn't know what we were talking about, though, well, what's this gonna feel like? Salty. It's really salty.
And by the way, as the game warden over there in Death Valley, do you not have enough time to measure the salt content?
Yeah.
You talk a pretty good salt game. Couldn't you drop a couple pH sticks into the thing and figure it out in about 10 minutes? I mean, what are you doing during the day that's keeping you so busy that you can't measure the salt content of the lake?
And especially if you're going to make the statement, it's about as salty as you can get. Because
yes.
I imagine there's someone near the Dead Sea that would disagree vehemently.
They beg to differ. Mm-hmm. Huell took his waffle stomper off, and I feel like somebody could have stolen it and opened a theme restaurant in it. His shoe is like, really, it's like one of those novelty lumberjack boots you pass when you're driving through Indiana, like that has, like that sells snacks and trinkets. Like,
it's like when you see Shaq's sneaker at a celebrity auction.
Yeah, you go, wow.
A canvas
family of gypsies
boat.
Buys it and moves into it. Where you live in Shaq's sneaker.
Wow, you have two bedrooms?
Yeah. All right, last one. Huell sadly wraps it up from Death Valley.
Well, it is late afternoon. The sun is setting in the west, and we are preparing to leave Death Valley. And what a wonderful 2 days we have had here. It's really hard to describe the emotions you feel when you experience something like this firsthand.
Ranges from bored to bored.
This is truly what California's gold is all about. It doesn't get any prettier and more magnificent than this.
Thanks.
A little false ending there. Louis thought he was ramping it up, and he took another lap around the boring park. Huell, again, we kid because we love. I'm scared that I'm going to, you know, Huell Hauser.
He did a Paul Harvey on that. You thought he was done,
right.
But he wasn't.
Yeah, then we heard the rest of the story. Huell is 8 foot tall. He's 280 pounds, and he's an ex-Marine. Yeah. And one day, I'm going to run into him, and he's going to choke the life out of me.
I'm not sure that one day you're going to run into him accidentally. I think one day he's just going to walk in the door.
He was a Marine. It's like, what was he like in Buka? Get on your feet, maggot. That is a crazy nickname. Where do you have all these nicknames?
Get on your knees, scumbag.
I was turd man. I was
now you
whore
say
mate.
You say give you.
What is your major malfunction?
Well, now I give you 20. But now it seems like now when now you tell me to do a push up. Now Louis, you getting this? 20 of what? 20 jumping jacks, 20 push ups? You say my last easy day was yesterday? Well, that means I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Well, and I love the fact that everybody's dressed the same.
Yeah. And what do you now, Louis, get a shot of this. Think what S on a shingle. This is positively delicious. Where do you get that name? This looks like rye bread to me. Lou, you getting a shot of the caraway seeds? Huell goes to the Army.
You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
Hey, good news on two fronts. One, Dana Gould, Giggles, Comedy Club, Seattle, Washington, tomorrow through Saturday.
Come on next up.
Lynn and Alex.
Yay.
Aww. Yeah, I'm sorry we never got to ask you about Carson Daly.
Oh.
I know we have to go to break, but I'm curious.
Quickly. Any thoughts on that? Carson,
I was astounded when I heard he had writers. Are you telling me somebody writes this?
I got to tell you, Carson's a friend of mine, and I didn't talk to him about it. And I'd be curious to hear what his angle is. He's a very nice guy. He's one of the nicest guys.
And as I said, I defended Ellen last time I was here when she did. Those shows, when they're straight interview shows, it's less entertainment. Letterman in 88 went back before the end of the strike. He got a waiver from the Guild, and he didn't do a monologue, and he didn't do a desk
piece. But he waited like 4 months.
Yeah, there's a way to do it, and
here's why you don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it right when talks resume and everybody thinks it might wrap up.
Right, because there have been talks all week and there's a media blackout. We don't know how the talks are going.
Number one. And number two, Carson Daly's not exactly setting the world on fire with the right. ratings and so on and so forth. So you do this, and all you do is open yourself up to,
a lot of
we didn't
posts.
Know you had a TV show.
Yeah. Or what I just said.
Or what Dana Gould just said. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. Lynn and Alex... I feel like together they make three gay people.
Yeah.
They're just that gay. They're that gay. They're like the
but
Wonder.
That's not biologically
like the
possible.
Wonder Twins.
You do know that.
Yeah. No, you know what? They bump mood rings and they yell, shape of a gay.
Lyndon doesn't want to have to form something made of liquid.
Yeah.
That's the rules of the Wonder Twins.
That's
These
right.
These two men are hugging in a way I've never seen before.
I feel if we could get Huel and Lynn and Alex together in the same room, it
Inside
would be
Inside the glory hole.
Some sort of... It'd be like one of those things where people... where you know when a scientist tries to explain to you that the sun could actually burn so hot that it burns itself out? And you can't wrap your mind around it. It's some sort of supernova that you can't explain. I feel that's the way it would be. And then it'd just be... And then the universe would go dark.
That would be, yeah.
I don't even understand Supernova the band, let alone the whole concept of the sunburn.
I seem to have wandered into an ultimate hugging competition. It's a gay orgy, Huel.
It's in an octagon.
We're having a ball out here.
Louie, put the slicker over the camera.
Get the Gallagher tarp.
We'll take a break. Dana Gould, always a joy. Lynn and Alex.
Thanks for having me.
Gays!
America's favorite gay couple.
If you're a top, you're an Alex.
Oh my
if
God.
You're bottom, you're a lady.
Hello.
Visit laragmag.com.
Oh,
I'm getting all hot.
Tingly.
Lynn and Alex are on the Adam Carolla Show.
These sisters are looking good. What's going on?
Oh, I'm skinny now.
What's going on?
Well, I'm getting mesotherapy. It's like shots in your
Really?
In your
Does
stomach.
That work?
Girl, it works. Look at me. I'm slim and trim.
Lose the weight, chubby.
Isn't that
That's
weird?
That's right.
That is exactly what I just said to him. I looked at him and said, you are so thin. What are you doing? He said, getting the shots. And I said the same thing you did. Do they work?
Now, what happens?
The obvious answer is yes.
I go to Renaissance Health Center. They're amazing. I go in. They give you about... They do this thing where they pinch your body with this magic machine, and it shoots, like, laser beams and stuff inside of your fat cells.
And sparkles.
And sparkles. And then they come along, and they give you about... 15 to 20 shots up in my upper carriage, my breastises, and then some in my cupcakes, in my muffin top on the side, and then a little bit just for for giggles in the front, and that, it totally works. You go in once
does
a week.
Hurt?
Now we're talking
it
to Lynn, by the way. Lynn, pull the mic up to the soup cooler
sorry,
just
so
a little bit closer.
Face.
Beautiful.
How many treatments did you have?
I have had 5 treatments. I'm going in for my 6th on Wednesday.
Now, this is the same thing Brittany gets done.
Have you been mixing this with diet and exercise?
Not exercise, but anything but exercise. But I do diet. Like,
wouldn't you call being fabulous a form of exercise?
Yes, it is exhausting.
It's aerobic, in fact.
It is exhausting.
Throwing your hands up over your head and tilting your head back.
Twirl.
There's a lot of pressure.
I mean, throwing glitter is exhausting after a few hours.
There's a lot of pressure in the gay world to have a perfect body and be the perfect gay.
Yeah,
and we're just trying to reach that.
Yes, you know, we all want to be Riken.
Yeah, no, we don't.
Well, no, it is very true and something we talk about from time to time. You know, if you'd asked my wife if there was one man she wanted to have sex with who was on TV, she'd say Tony Soprano.
Wow.
No, well, the point is women not so much into the visual. Oh, they're into it, but they're into power and they're into money and they're into everything else.
This Lucky straight guys.
This is a guy who plays the part of a mob boss and he has power and he's strong and he's got a lot
he's
of authority.
A big boy.
And he's a big boy and so on and so forth. But there's no female equivalent to him that a bunch of guys want to have sex with.
Oh,
guys
want to
have sex with good-looking
Chris
people.
Christian Amanpour doesn't do it for you?
that sounds like a Jewish holiday.
But powerful men turn gay men on, too, you know?
As long as they're thin.
Yeah, but Tony Soprano,
Tom Likens
sometimes
work for
when guys have, like, a belly, their penis goes inside.
Oh, yes. Wow. It's, what's that called? An inverted penis.
Yeah, it's
unpleasant,
strange.
People.
All right. So as a guy, lots of pressure to look your best.
As a gay man, it's like oppressive.
But
you
is it
have
more
to be
than
thin.
A straight woman, do you think? More pressure to
yes,
be perfect
because
looking?
Well, it's probably along the same lines because, you know, men are so visually driven.
Yeah.
You know.
Either way, you're trying to track guys and that's going to be work.
Yes.
So the mesotherapy works.
Oh, girl, it totally works.
Uh-huh.
Look at me. They do it in my chin, too. I forgot they do it on my chin.
Now, how much weight did you lose?
I have lost, like, 15 pounds alone from the mesotherapy.
And then everyone comes up to him and tells him that they heard that the mesotherapy's poison.
It's not poison.
No.
It's not poison.
I don't care. Lynn,
it's approved by the
Lynn
FDA.
Looks, better.
I don't care. Thinness.
Lynn looks better than ever, and the testicular cancer is a small price to pay.
I love a third ball.
Looking fabulous.
Do you end up bruisey where the injections
you
are?
You do end up a little bruisey, just very little bruisey. But it's all good. You know, you got it hurts to look so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing, you know, by the way, like if a butterfly landed on Lynn, he'd get a bruise. That'd be a mark, there.
I'm anemic.
And the doctor,
Mr. Sexy Linares.
Is so sexy. And we're like, Dr. Linares, can you show us how it works for you? And he'll pull up his shirt and show us. And
is then, it gay?
No.
Have you guys ever looked through the gay yellow pages, the pink pages?
No.
Have you ever seen the gay yellow pages?
I've seen them, but I don't use
I thought all those pages were stuck together.
Girl, let your fingers do the walking.
Oh, really?
It is. You'll never laugh so hard. I had the actual gay. There is a gay
of
yellow pages, and it's like Bob Mankiewicz, attorney at law, except for the guy has his shirt off.
And I'm also a plumber.
I swear to you, I don't care if the guy does tax preparation, runs a funeral home,
running for Senate,
or will fumigate your house. There is a guy standing there holding a tackle box with his shirt off, and it's the greatest thing ever. Now, if you call the guy, a short Guatemalan guy will show up at your house, 5'1" and 250 pounds. He's the guy who actually does the fumigating. But every single picture is a guy with a shirt off.
Oh, no, totally. That's how we pick our services. Like, who's the hottest lawyer? Who's the hottest doctor?
But you're right. You go in and you, like, get their friend, you know, Carlos.
Right.
But, I mean, that is totally true, though. I mean, you would think... Remember during the riots, black owned, you know, and the Mexican community would like to support the Mexican community. The Mormon community really sticks together and buys Mormon and stuff. You would think the gay community would go to pick a gay doctor over a straight doctor.
Keep it in the family. No, stick together, girls.
We just do it for the possibility of getting laid. That's what the gay yellow pages are for.
We're like, I'm going to go in
and get
I'm
so glad you're talking
too.
About being gay because we have the best gay gossip in the world.
Really?
We're going to drop a big gay bomb in here.
Well, let's...
It's going to fumigate.
Blow dry ice.
Oh, there it is.
I'm going to duck and cover right under Lynn and Alex.
Duck under me.
What do you got? What's the first one up?
Okay, well, the first one up is, we had a run-in with one of Hollywood's most closeted actors, Mr. John Travolta. Now, where did we have... The question is, where did we have this run-in?
Where was it, Alex?
Where was it? It was at a men's spa in Koreatown.
What? And I'm not talking like a sex club.
The one on Beverly?
See, it's even dirtier.
Oh, yeah.
It's in Koreatown. Can I say the name of it, or am I going to get in trouble?
I don't know.
I don't want anyone to say. But it is
a Koreatown's not a euphemism for your backside, is it?
No. It's K-Town people.
Okay, because sometimes I hear I had a run-in in Koreatown, and I think good night.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one.
We go to this spa because it's very cheap.
It's all about gay men spaing together.
Right.
I mean, there's not humping going on, but there are things happening.
Mm-hmm.
There are penises exposed. There's...
Right. Sure.
Okay, right. So we go in and we check in and the little Asian ladies behind the counter go, "Oh, you'll never believe who here."
Oh, that's sweet.
And I said, "Oh my God, who?" And they said, "Oh, Mr. John Travolta."
Is killing me.
And you're saying this spa is a place where there's no...
They were like so excited that he was there, and we were like, wow, that is kind of exciting. So we meandered on in to shower, you know, because it's just one pole with like five shower heads on it. You're like,
so Lynn's getting a body scrub, and I'm scrubbing myself down, and I'm like, oh, that guy is totally gross and checking me out. And
don't act like you didn't like it.
And it's John Travolta.
Really?
And I was like, oh, my God.
This is the God honest truth, people. Seriously. Mm-hmm. So keep going.
Okay, so I'm like, I've got to document this.
Because we're reporters.
Yeah. So I'm like running around. I'm like looking for my camera.
You know, weaving and bobbing through the penises.
Yeah, I tried to take a picture. It totally didn't work. The only thing it did was really anger John Travolta and the staff.
Girls,
there.
The scandal.
Oh, like, he saw you.
He saw us.
He came running up to me and was like, did you just take my picture?
After Alex had ran over to
his
me to give me
up
the
in
camera,
my face.
Really?
dirty. Yeah. And then he throws me the camera. I have to hide it in a towel. And now I'm hiding over here while Alex is getting in trouble. And I'm like, oh, girl, I got to get dressed and get out of here because I'm about to get taken down.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's lying. He's like, no, I didn't take a picture. I didn't take a picture.
And bottom line is we got out of there.
Yeah. It was a nasty scene. And John was running.
Now, can I ask this? Is this the kind of place that no straight guy would ever frequent?
Adam, I will never see you.
You wouldn't even go to the parking lot. You would not even go to the parking lot. Annie maybe drive through the parking lot, but you wouldn't go in. But I am telling you,
Adam, if I saw you there, I would be more shocked than I was when I saw John.
Is there any way you could be mistaken? You could just, someone got me a gift certificate to this place and I didn't know.
Okay, yeah. Granted, Adam, I'm sure some straight men go there. There's a lot of Asian men who go there. I'm sure they're straight. But John Travolta does not slum it in Koreatown for a $40 body scrub.
Right. He has a very nice spa right on Beverly where all the stars go.
Do you think his wifey knows that he was at the K-Town spa?
Well,
Adam, let's think.
It's one of these things where you hear these stories all the time, and you hear them about certain actors, and you think, well, I've never seen any evidence of it. On the other hand, how come they never go away, and how come you never hear these stories about Jay Leno?
Right.
Or Jimmy Kimmel or anybody else?
Oh,
like, why? Why? I mean, Jimmy's by. He's out.
Okay, Jimmy.
I think Jimmy was there.
The
there was
party.
A lot of steam.
The point
is
you do think, like, in any one of these sort of, whatever it is about any celebrity, she's a bitch to work with, he's gay, he's the nicest guy in the world, whatever the reputation is, there's part of your brain that goes, oh, that's just people talking.
And
then on the other part, you go, well, how did it get started and why did it get traction?
Well, here's the other thing about that.
I
knew you were going to say that.
I saw it with my own eyes. Yeah. My penis is magic. When I walk into a room, it points to the biggest celebrity in the room. I'm just saying. And it was tingling the whole time. And I was like, what's going on?
So you have a divining rod in your underpants?
I knew that, you know, it's all hearsay. So I knew that people wouldn't believe me.
This is not hearsay.
This is me telling you straight up. Yeah. I don't have any proof. I'm sorry. But this is me telling you.
This is the idea of you telling me anything straight. Kind of.
So I researched this on the internet. And if you go to our website, ellieragmick.com, you can see other articles from men who have been approached by him at spas in Valencia, California in 2001.
Now, he was cruising you say. He was eyeing you.
He was eyeing me and my Middle Eastern feast, okay?
All right, let's take a break.
He offered you a hummus?
Pull your burk up, Jim. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Lynn and Alex here. Again, separately, they're gay, but together, they're an army of gay.
They rub off on me a little bit.
They really are more than two together.
They're three of our most beloved guests.
We are going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, more gossip, including Jeremy Piven not being an ass.
No, he's not.
That's news. Wow. And Kim Kardashian tape up on the website. Still haven't seen that. Plus,
still haven't seen that.
Kimmel that's news up for you, Adam.
Janice Dickinson news. We'll do it next with Lynn and Alex, the Gossip Queen.
With Lynn and Alex. Check them out at laragmag.com. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, gays.
Oh, we love you, Adam.
Hey, Lynn, and hey, Alex, what's our next story?
Well, our next story is, you know, we went to the American Music Awards to cover it for the show, and honestly, the red carpet was a nightmare, and everybody was there, and it was so crowded we didn't get anything. But we did go to the gifting suites with Khloe Kardashian.
Girl, I love a gifting suite.
Love Khloe Kardashian.
Yes, she's amazing.
Because we're crazy, but she's crazy too, so we balance each other out.
Now, Khloe's the middle sister, the older sister.
She's the older sister that
she's the tall girl.
She looks different. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
And, you know, like I said, we have the Kim Kardashian tape on our website
today. Kim Kardashian, the video is so good. Like,
she
Paris
is so hot.
Like boring.
I agree. Boring. But, I'm just picturing, like, Lynn and Alex and Khloe Kardashian walking through the gifting suite is exactly why the terrorists want to blow up this entire country.
Oh, they were serving martinis.
You imagine them just sitting on a rock with dirt on the floor, being baked by the 180-degree sun and seeing these guys mincing, picking up some cleanser and a new pair of sunglasses.
We sweep through that place.
We must kill the infidels.
Can I have some of that? let me have some of that. So we're going through these gifting suites, and we brought you guys a present, an early Christmas present.
Because we are amazing. That's why.
Because I think of you. I think of you. So Adam and Danny, we got you a voodoo.
Oh, you are going to love it. Because Adam, I know you don't like to go out a lot. Oh, dude. So this is the voodoo machine. It stores the equivalent of two video stores worth of videos inside its little box.
Uh-huh.
And then every week, it is updated with the new releases. So anytime you want to see a new movie or an old movie, you just type it in and poof, it comes up on your video box.
It's like a TiVo for movies.
It is, and you can buy them or you can rent them.
And you'll never have to own a DVD ever again.
Love voodoo.
Wow. One for you, Danny. One for you, Adam.
Oh, my God.
Like
boys, to the glory hole.
Yeah. I would do stuff to you guys for that.
Oh, well, you get one, so we'll take that up.
Yeah,
it's on its way, voodoo. Everyone check it out, voodoo.com. They're amazing machines. I think they retail for $400.
$400.
And then for Teresa, we got you.
Teresa.
You get lots of stuff, Teresa, so we got you a hotel stay at the Petit Hermitage opening in West Hollywood. It's awesome.
It is going to be the most gorgeous hotel. It's in the Hollywood Hills. It comes with free butler this room stay and free porn.
Free porn for you and
me. Me and Batman.
That, by the way, means the small canker sore.
Free porn and a butler.
Gravy.
Butler is spelled with two T's.
Thank you. The only good thing
about the American Music Awards
was
we left and then we came back and then we got into Jimmy Kimmel's private party.
It was a great party. Except, Adam, why doesn't Jimmy know who I am?
Yeah, Adam. Yeah,
why does Jimmy not know who your gays are?
Hey, yeah, we're like, we told Jill, Jimmy Kimmel's sister, who was awesome and drunk.
Love you. Hey, Jill.
She showed us her boobs.
Oh, love your boobies.
Yeah.
Busty. Yeah, I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah, tell me.
I had new gays every weekend, and Jimmy couldn't keep track. So eventually he just tuned out. You know what I mean? It was like, I was like a dad who had a skanky daughter who brought home a new boyfriend every 20 minutes. And after a while, it's like Kurt or or Kirk. Or who cares? This is guy du jour who's on top of my daughter. So I had a new couple of gays waltzing in and out of Kimmel's house every couple of weeks. So he just tuned out. I'll explain to him on Football Sunday that these gays are here to stay.
Yes, and I don't ever want to hear about you cheating on us again. Adam, we can be your only gay friends. That's how it works.
Yeah, that's it.
So we're at this after party.
You're actually my only friends.
See? Danny knows the rules. Teresa, she does too.
We're at this after party. We're hanging out. We're like, oh my God, we're at Jimmy Kimmel's after party.
I love it. The food's wonderful, and so is the booze.
Jimmy looks at us like, who the hell are these guys?
Yeah, who's the really gay guy checking out Fergie? Leave her alone.
And so Fergie's there, and she's it's a funny story because she's just guarded by all these bodyguards.
Yeah, it's a very small, intimate party. You know, it's like maybe 100 peeps. Very VIP people, very VIP. And Fergie's there, and she's, you know, surrounded by three bodyguards, a very large man, not much unlike the Soprano guy. And they're all around her, and I was making a beeline for the food because Mama was hungry. And so I go straight to the buffet, and I'm like in a beeline. I'm making it seriously there. Fergie's bodyguards are like, oh my God, alert, gay guy on the loose. And they think I'm running over to Fergie. They stand up and block my way. I'm like, bitches, I'm on the way to the food. I got Fergie single at home. I can listen to her anytime I want. Okay.
Hey.
F to the E, R, G, the I, the E.
She's like, don't touch me. Don't touch me.
I got to tell you, she said, it's the only celebrity female that legitimately hit on me many years ago.
Is everyone hearing this?
Abso-effin-lutely.
Wow. Really? Where was that?
Kids Incorporated?
Century City Spa?
I was at a party, and she was in Wild Orchids. Yes, in a meth-fueled haze. She was in Wild Orchid back then. Okay. She was in like a girl band. Yeah.
Right.
And they used to do Loveline when it was on MTV.
God, I love that show.
All the time. And I went to some party, and she seemed pretty loaded, and she was hitting on me in no uncertain terms. I remember it because I was with my girlfriend and my wife now, she got PO.
Like, that is rude. I didn't know she was doing that right in front of Lynette.
Well, it's kind of how I know, because Lynette said something to her, like, no, you're not going upstairs with him, or whatever it was.
Yeah, bitch, this man is mine.
It's the only female celebrity that's ever. I mean, Travolta's hit on me a baker's dozen times. But the only female celebrity that's ever hit on me.
That's exciting.
Did you dig it when your wife said, your girlfriend at the time said, hey, back off, bitch?
It was all right, but it wasn't Fergalicious Fergie. This was just Fergie from Wild Orchid.
Delicious.
Yeah, so it was no big deal. And Natalie Maines, I don't know if she ever liked me. She just invited. Well, maybe she did.
She invited you to the Grammys.
Well, maybe she did.
You don't waste that invitation on a
nobody.
Do you
think if you were at the party, she would have recognized you?
Josh Duhamel might have.
I find that when you have... I find that people's memory of you depends on how good the memory is. If you run into a guy you went to high school with who was the greatest guy in the world, you definitely remember him, or you act like you remember him.
Yeah. Right.
If you run into a guy who embarrassed you or humiliated you or kicked your ass or something, you will pretend, or all of a sudden things get a little fuzzy. So I would assume that since that experience probably didn't rank up at the top of her feel-good experience things,
she would be
a little fuzzy about it, but she certainly remembers going on Loveline all those times.
Yeah. I'll ask her.
Wait, that's so funny that you bring that up, because at the gifting suite, we bumped into Adrena from the Hills, who we met in Vegas that one time.
Hi, Adrena. Don't pretend like you don't know me.
And we're like, oh, my God, Adrena, we love you. Oh, my God.
Because I met her in Vegas at the party for Virgin, remember, your boyfriend, Richard Branson.
She looked at us like we were two crazy fags.
And I was like, look, girl, I am a crazy fag. Yeah, that's right.
She's some girl on the Hills.
Yeah.
F her.
Hugs and kisses. Let's get a picture. See you later.
I know I'm old, but I just feel like, first off, those people didn't do anything to really earn their celebrity.
They're rich, Adam.
There's no body of work that's behind them. And plus, don't they know they're going to be gone this time next year?
Well, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Lauren's big.
No, I just adore those
fatigue.
Girls.
I'm over all
I adore them. And my feeling for her that she didn't recognize me, because I thought I was crazy enough for you to recognize
me. That's right, Adrena. Next time we're high, I'm coming in with you.
Moving on. All right. Our next story is a really good one. Janice Dickinson, her season 4 premiere this Tuesday on Oxygen.
What's the show called, love?
Janice Dickinson Modeling Agency.
Yes,
and surprise, surprise, one of her models, it surfaced, is actually a gay porn star. She cast him on the show. She didn't know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She didn't know he was a gay porn star.
The network did not know he was a gay porn star.
Is Rodrigo a gay porn star who's been in many films, but... it came out and it sort of shocked everybody.
Shocker.
Because, you know, he was introduced as she starts the Latin division this year, and it was really important.
Yikes.
Not that Janice cares that he's a porn star, but that's something you usually disclose, right?
Yeah, and they should do a background check, people.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. One in March,
that was the name of one of his movies.
Right. Background check. He also did Deceived. He also did...
Cavity Search.
Dawson's Crack.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He had all these great ones. But the last time he did a porn was in March, and we broke the story on LA Rag Mag, and then we got a call from Fremantle.
Oh, the production companies are so vicious.
And they were like, how do you know that? And we said, well, actually, someone who was in the porn with him is our friend and came to us and told us.
Yes.
So tune in on Tuesday for Rodrigo De Carli. His porn name is Claudio Martin.
Claudio. And he's very large and in charge, people. Let's just say he's doing porn for a reason. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great guy. He's very sweet.
I met
him. He's a
lovely porn star.
Yes, he's a great man. But he's even better now that he's a porn star.
Yes, well, and we've seen him naked. We love naked.
Hey, so were the people at Fremantle upset about this? Or
Well, we're casting directors, so we cast the show. So they thought we had some kind of,
They thought we had broken. Yes. They thought we had broken confidentiality.
But we hadn't, so don't sue me.
Everybody and their dog knew about it.
Yeah, ruff, ruff.
We need to take ourselves a break. LARagmag.com. Roseanne Barr. Who I feel almost as an honorary gay. I don't mean that in a bad way, but
so?
She would make a great gay.
I love Roseanne Barr.
Love her.
She is coming up on the show next. Lynn and Alex, you really continue doing the Lord's work.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We shouldn't monopolize any more of your time.
No, we've got people to expose.
LARagmag.com. Roseanne next.
Bye-bye.
Love her.
I can't believe what a huge flap the whole gay marriage thing made in the election and how it still makes like a huge stink every place. I mean, we've lost our minds and our common sense. If you think that gay sex is gross, then you should be for their right to marry. Because that'll put an end to all that sex just like it does for the straight people.
And now Roseanne Barr is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, you know you've arrived when Roseanne covers it.
Yep.
You say we're having Roseanne on the show. They don't go, who?
Yeah. Who could that be?
Which Roseanne are you talking about? Yep.
Yeah, they say, oh, Roseanne O'Donnell.
Good to speak to you, Roseanne.
Hi, Adam.
Where are you calling from?
Home.
Ah, and how is your home these days?
It's lovely and very nice.
And are you set for life as far as everything goes financially?
Well, I have 5 children and 4 grandchildren, so, you know, you always gotta keep it coming, you know?
Right, but as far as syndication and that kind of stuff, you're in
good
shape.
Well, I'm not Jerry Seinfeld. Unfortunately, I didn't have.
Why aren't you Jerry Seinfeld?
Because I was first, and you know, my show was a big hit when he made his deal. So they were like high on comics when he went in, and when I went in, they were not so high on comics. You know.
Right.
So, I mean, he got a lot of advantage from, you know, the fact that I was the, you know, probably second.
You paved the way.
Well, Bill Cosby kind of did for all of us. But when I came, I mean, when I came on and I got, you know, to be number one, then it was like they signed every comic in the world, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, you just see now they've got a lot of people who write and produce and all that other stuff too, you know.
What was the big year for comedy? I mean, there was that time when there was that boom where they were opening clubs on every corner. Was that like 89 or 90?
It was like total rock and roll there for a while. It was the new rock and roll I started in 1980, and I'd say it was about between 75 and 95.
It was crazy. It was like every pizza joint, every establishment, every place that had 5 square extra feet would just put a microphone, and it'd be like open mic at the AIDS hospice. Come on, people.
I remember it was everywhere. It was so cool to, like, you know, it was like, I guess, the last vestige of free speech
now,
in America.
Where, it seems like it's coming back, though. It seems
I
like comedy
so.
Clubs
yeah, well,
are making
more,
a comeback.
Yeah, I think so. It's like the more repressed it gets, the more comics come out.
Who do you like? Now, I know you have an event coming up with our own Sarah Silverman, dear friend.
Yeah.
Who do you like in
comedy
department?
I think she is just hilarious. I think she's fantastic. And, you know, I'm excited to be performing with her tonight. And I like, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen. And
yeah.
I like all the ones that everybody else likes. But as far as stand-up, I don't think there's anybody better than Sarah.
Yeah, she is great. I've seen her many times. And, you know, about the best thing you can say about Sarah Silverman is the nicest person, one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Isn't she nice? And also, like, what balls she has. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't the part of her anatomy I was going to admire, but yes, you're right.
Yeah,
she doesn't quite
thing.
A set of balls.
It's probably her psychic balls that you admire.
Right.
I mean, and she is attractive, too. But, I mean, just the things that, you know, the kind of comedy she does is real, like In the Trenches, guerrilla comedy, and I just love it. It's just fantastic.
I wonder if she does that and can get away with that because she is a really good-hearted, genuinely nice person. See, sometimes I feel like if you're not such a good person, you got to watch what you say.
Right.
Because people know you're not such a good person.
That's kind of true, huh?
It is. And it's true. Like, you think about those things.
Like Don Rickles is a really nice person,
right,
too.
He gets to say whatever he wants. Dick Cheney better watch his tongue. Because you look at that guy and you go, you evil bastard.
Oh, yeah.
I say it this way. Roseanne is on the phone, by the way. I always say, here's the way it works. Everybody has had a job or has a job with the one cool guy who works in the office and the one weird guy who works in the office. And it's not what they say, but it's whose mouth it comes out of. When the weird guy comes by and goes, Teresa, do you get a new skirt? You go, ugh. You go take a Silkwood shower when you get home. And if he says it again, you'll go report him. Hey, this guy's undressing me. He's sexually harassed me.
Well, plus, if they're good looking, it helps.
The cool guy.
Yes, it did.
The cool guy gets to walk into the office and say whatever he wants.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody looks like they got a good banging last night, T. And you laugh and you move on, right?
Well, everybody's constantly deceived by the way people appear. I mean, that's the hallmark.
I'm not saying looking. I'm just saying the vibe. Yes, it's true. If you're good looking, people will pull over and help you change your flat.
Yeah.
We live in that kind of country, and we probably live in that kind of world. But I just mean your vibe. Sarah Silverman has a really cool vibe, and thus she can say whatever she wants. Roseanne has made herself into Roseanne, who gets to say whatever she wants. Do you ever feel that way?
Well, I just say what I want. I didn't make myself that way. I always was that way, you know.
But we accept you now as that.
Well, you know, it cuts both ways. I mean, you know, you get torn down and awarded for it. You know, it comes both ways, you know, when you have something to say. And particularly, sadly, still in this world, if you're a female, you know. Of course, I don't even know if I believe that anymore. It's like anybody who thinks is not cool.
Yeah. Well, what do you? Well, speaking of that, I don't know how much into politics you are. I'm assuming you're not a fan of the current administration. Who would you like to see in there in a year and change?
Because I think it would be a huge step up and an improvement.
Well, what about Hillary Clinton or Barack or somebody in the Democratic side?
I want a third party. I want a third Green Party with whoever, whatever buddy they can trot out. And I just want to say, Adam, I hope the people who fix the elections will put a Democrat in this time. Just for the sake of our democracy.
You think everyone has just been bought and sold and it's in everyone's hip pocket and it's all corrupt?
Yeah, they're all the same, the money party. But I think that Kucinich, he's got some answers, and I think that he might be 11% less evil than the rest of them.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, but, I hope it'll be a Democrat at the worst.
Do you think, and I'm wondering.
And I do think they're horrible. I hate Democrats and I hate the Democrat Party, but I think they're 2% better than the Republican Party.
Yeah, so it's a lesser of two evils. Yeah. And I wonder, I mean, I know it's sort of always been this way if you hear some of the things Will Rogers spoke about many years ago.
Now,
making
there's
fun
a
of,
guy who's still like a great comic mind.
Yes. Will Rogers, yes. Absolutely. And he also makes a hell of a beach. But are we at an all-time, are we jaded more than we ever were? Do we just know too much? Is there too many cable channels? You know what I mean? Is everyone officially fed up?
We're confused, and we have too many impulses, and we do too many things, and none of them well. We can't really focus. I think, you know, we all have ADD, the whole society, maybe the whole world. We have ADD, you know, in a big, big way.
Yeah,
that's why we can't get anything done.
I think it's going to get worse. So you're performing tonight with Sarah, right, at USC?
Yeah.
And where's the money going?
It's this organization that it's actually, you know, Sarah, she's big on this organization. I think her family is too, her sister. But it's to raise funds and awareness to foster peaceful cooperation in the Middle East through environmental student programs. So it goes to support Arab and Israeli students learning to study solar energy, which is like a way to bring solutions to the Middle East rather than more unstoppable war, you know. I mean, like learning to live with your neighbor to do something good, like, you know, harness the sun rather than Bronze Age gods.
Doesn't it feel like something, though, that a guy who worked at a Kentucky bait and tackle shop would yell, Earl, you keep that up, you're going to be going to L.A. with Sarah Silverman raising money trying to get Arabs and Jews to work on solar panels.
Well, I know, but, I mean, like, the NASCAR crowd, you know, they're not in the forefront of, futuristic thinkers. But, you know,
you're saying they're not on the vanguard of the environmental movement?
Unless you can put it on a sticker on a car, they're not into it.
Right. Well, I mean, they can't burn enough gas, you know, and it doesn't even,
they watch
like
80,
it doesn't even occur to them that that's why we're in a war and that they're causing it. But, you know what, there's a whole new way of thinking, and this is like, you know, one of the first things that is about peaceful cooperation over there rather than just, like I said before, you know, force feeding your Bronze Age god myths down everybody's throat so you can kill each other. It's a step in the right direction. I'm all for that.
Good times.
It's a interesting yet semi-confusing charity, but I get exactly what it is. But it's also a bit of a confusing name to get tickets. It's Friends of Arva, and that's ARAVA. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Friendsofarva.com for tickets?
.org. Yeah, you can get
.org?
Friends of friendsofarava, ARAVA.org. Mm-hmm. Or can I give a number?
You sure.
Can
call
number.
Sure.
877-725-8849. And, you know, it's a step in the right direction. And I think, you know, people, we really need to stop bitching and start taking steps in the right direction,
well,
I think.
People should step toward USC tonight at 8 o'clock and go
I'll
see
a... I'll be dead soon, you know, because I'm getting older and older. So,
sure.
You know, it's a good thing for me. I don't have anything to risk by actually being against war.
She'll speak her mind, and Sarah Silverman will be there as well. And that's good enough for me.
Also, the cast of the Sarah Silverman show. Show
the
will be
whole
there.
Cast, yeah, that's fantastic. I feel really excited to hang out with those guys.
Well, Roseanne, give Sarah a hug from me.
Yeah, she's kind of feeling under the weather, so that's why she couldn't call today. But I will.
And mazel tov, and again, anything that has to do with ending war and harnessing the power of the sun, well, you're good by me. We'll take a break.
Somebody's just going to make a solar bomb, though, right?
Oh,
that's
no.
The first thing they're going to do.
That's not the idea.
What's coming up in the news?
Disturbing new information about the death of Quiet Riot singer Keith Dubrow.
The fact that his name is Kevin is probably disturbing.
Kevin. Keith.
And what about his grieving son?
Do we
son?
Need Kevin and Keith?
Guy.
No, they both die. I'm fine with it. They're friends of mine.
All right. We'll take a break. Back with the news next.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Omaha, Nebraska. A 51-year-old woman was struck in the head with a dart in the sporting goods section at Walmart. Definitely not a Jew.
T-Bone,
yeah?
What you got in the way of news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Back in July, the Democrats debated in the first ever CNN YouTube debate. And last night, it was the Republicans in a debate hosted by CNN and Anderson Cooper. McCain and Ron Paul got into it over the war. Here is McCain.
I just want to also say that Congressman Paul, I've heard him now in many debates talking about bringing our troops home and about the war in Iraq and how it's failed. And I want to tell you that that kind of isolationism, sir, is what caused World War II. We allowed Hitler to come to power with that kind of attitude of isolationism and appeasement.
Okay.
And I want to tell you something, sir. I just finished having Thanksgiving with the troops, and their message to you is, the message of these brave men and women who are serving over there is, let us win. Let us win.
And now Ron Paul's rebuttal.
The real question you have to ask is, why do I get the most money from active duty officers, military personnel?
Wow.
So what John is saying is just totally distorted. He doesn't even understand the difference between non-intervention and isolationism. I'm not an isolationist. I want to trade with people, talk with people, travel, but I
Time's
don't
up,
want to send our troops overseas using force to tell them how to live. We would object to it here, and they're going to object to us over there.
Ron Paul is the only anti-war candidate debating.
Not a fan of him. I enjoy his wife, Mrs. Paul. Mm-hmm. Had a long discussion about her campaign built on planks of beer batter and tartar sauce.
She ran on that and won.
Yeah, she won on a beer batter and tartar sauce campaign. Oh, I love me some fish fillet.
Well, you know else?
Fish and chips.
That is good. Huh? Can't go wrong.
Anything better.
You can't go wrong.
You'll never, you know, you do. Fish and chips is one of those things. Once every 3 years, I order fish and chips, and then I announce to the table, I love fish and chips. I'm going to order fish and chips every day. And then 4 years later, I order my next batch of fish and chips.
Yeah. Doesn't stay top of mind, fish and chips.
I don't know what it is. You know what? I think I do know what it is. And it's if you go to, like, I don't want to say the chain store, but if you go to the chain of fish and chips, it's the fact that the bottom of the bag is an inch thick of grease when you're done.
Yeah.
If they're done properly.
Mm.
And you just can't over vinegar them, and even the French fries tastes good with vinegar.
I'll tell you, Mrs. Paul in 08.
Yeah.
All right. She's got my vote.
Well, she's going against Mrs. Butterworth.
Mm-mm.
Guess who has stepped in to support Ron Paul's campaign in
Aunt
a big way?
Jemima?
He's been a guest of ours many times.
One of the Keebler elves?
He runs and owns the Moonlight Bunny Ranch. Dennis Hoff.
Oh, Uncle Ben. Oh, who?
Dennis Hoff. It's now
Jack.
Now putting his money and support behind Ron Paul.
That would be helpful.
Ron's elated about that. Now, Ron wants to overhaul the IRS, right? He wants to dismantle it. Is that the same guy?
Same guy.
Good times. All right.
And he's getting money from whores.
What's next?
This guy could
T-Bone?
Not be better.
Kevin Dubrow.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Dubrow. Here is some disturbing news about his recent death. Las Vegas police are now saying that the Quiet Riot singer passed away approximately 6 days before his body was discovered at his home by a neighbor on Sunday. The concerned neighbor had kicked down his door. He'd been dead 6 days.
There's no amount of time that could pass that would get me to go into one of my neighbor's house and look for their corpse.
Really?
No amount of time.
No.
There's no amount of non-activity. My neighbor could be sitting behind the wheel of his car in just a skeleton form, and I would not pick up the phone.
Oh, no,
that's the way I roll.
There we differ. I just recently saw a lady asleep against the wheel of her car at a 7-Eleven. Car was off. I knocked on the window to make sure she was okay. But I would never know one of my neighbor's habits well enough to know if I have or have not seen them.
Right.
I go months without seeing my neighbors.
If somebody says, Adam, you know the old guy who lives down the hill from you, who keeps calling Department of Building and Safety on you because he wants you to cut the effing hedge? When's the last time you saw him? I'd be like, 8 months ago. I'm on a roll, baby. Let's keep this party going.
Apparently, Kevin had a
fiance.
And if
they said, he may be dead, I'd say, please, don't kid. Please, do not toy with my affections this way.
Not
now, don't say it if you don't mean it.
But it's weird that
Kevin... Oh, it'd be great if that old guy died. Awesome.
It seems odd to me that Kevin, he's a real social guy. Every time I've been to Vegas recently, I've bumped into him. And I only go to the Palms, really, because they're the guys who pay for my rooms. And I bump into him almost every time I'm there, so he's out and about. That seems really weird.
The last time you saw him, did he seem well?
He didn't seem dead.
Huh. Well, that's saying something.
Right there.
The last person who saw him alive, reportedly, was his fiance, Lori Lynn Sampson. She received a text message from him early Monday morning at 2:40 a.m. It read, quote, I love you so much.
Mm-mm.
I'm telling you right now, if I was not home by 11:06, Amy would call the cops.
Mm.
Really?
She'd say, oh, he's missing for sure. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be at 11, he's 6 minutes late.
That was my big fear when I was single.
Suspect.
That no one would know I died and I'd just be sitting in there.
Yeah.
My cats would be eating.
Can't wait to eat you.
Well, it's also that I'm completely not trusted. It's not just love. I mean, the girl blindly loves me. I don't think anybody's ever loved me as much as this girl. But on the other hand, she thinks if I'm 6 minutes late, I'm 6 minutes with another woman. So it's not just affection.
That'd be funny, though, when we went over to get your personal belongings.
Yeah.
And your grieving family was like, where's the corpse? Well, it's over there by the flower pot, and it's over there by the hedge, and then there's another part of it. Oh, no, it's a fur ball. Oh, whose fur is that? Oh, God.
Oh,
anyway, we're just going to go ahead and strip off first three inches of the backyard and put it out in the ocean.
That's
the way she would want it.
Wow. If somebody found you dead, what would be the last thing you would want them to find in your house?
You mean as far as now? Does this have to be a belonging that I have, or does this have to be something to be put in your house?
No. I can't go, Mama, just to F with you because you're dead, and I think it'll be funny. It's something in your house. For me, it would definitely be the porn.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows you have it.
Yeah, but it's different to hear about it, to talk about it on the radio, than to actually see it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to come off like some kind of pervert.
Mm-hmm.
I have two embarrassing books I'd like to be rid of.
Really?
I don't know. I should just get rid of them now before I die.
Yes.
Yeah.
but maybe I'll need one.
But what are
the fact that you read it all.
I took the cover off one. It's this book that every woman in L.A. probably has called Getting to I Do.
Yes.
No. Took the cover right off that, but I don't
and
need that
about,
to be found.
A purpose-driven life. Is that
I don't
the
have
one?
That. I wouldn't be embarrassed. I also have this book called Surviving the Loss of a Love. It's a classic God. In psychology
you
circles,
so
but
gay.
It's embarrassing.
You
I
are
know.
So gay.
Now, let's talk about hot pregnant women.
Yeah. Scored Batman.
Make me some juice.
Yeah, something my
so
dad
So maybe those books were great. You scored Batman out of that.
I know. Maybe it was useful.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be embarrassed and shamed. The 9 hottest pregnant women ever, according to Maxim magazine.
A subject that should never be talked about.
Ever.
Really?
Ever, yeah.
Maxim discussed it, and they're sexist. I mean, they're a nice magazine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some of them are sexy.
Dude. Hottest
pregnant women ever.
Well, it's ever. That just means, like, Cindy Crawford was pregnant at one time.
She did not make this list.
No, they're currently pregnant, these women, right?
These women have all been recently pregnant.
All right, because I wouldn't say ever. If
they call it
everyone
ever.
Was currently pregnant.
Right. But they don't have, you know, I don't know.
They're
Mary
not
Magdalene.
They're not winning the right. Pulitzer over there.
Here's what they have.
This is damn exciting stuff.
Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
Gwen Stefani. Brooke Burke. Mm. Heidi Klum.
Yes.
Currently pregnant. Christina Aguilera.
Mm.
Halle Berry also pregnant.
Yes.
She looks pretty good.
I know, but, you know, I never thought I would say this. I promised myself I'd never get to this point in life.
Yeah.
God, forgive me for what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I can't wait.
Personality is starting to factor in.
Oh, no.
Just
a
little. Just a little. Just a little.
Oh.
Just a little bit.
You mean it's starting to affect how you think about
it? I don't know, T. I'm confused.
But it's
like, let me tell you what happened,
okay.
Man.
All right. You're looking at, say,
Halle Berry or Heidi Klum, and it's like, and I'm like, part of my brain is going like, man, she's hot. And the other part's going, yeah, but she's such a pompous sack of wind. And then I go, shut up. Shut up. And then the other side of my brain's like, just turn the sound down. I keep focusing on their looks because they're piping hot. And then another part of me says, oh, she's writing a children's book or she's accepting a war and they're crying and thanking her dead grandma or she's explaining about how much adversity she's overcome. And I go, no, get out of my head, man.
What has happened to you, sir?
I don't know.
What do you think is causing
this? I don't
this?
Know. I know that Brooke Burke's a pain in the ass. I don't know Halle Berry
if
thinks
done properly.
Who doesn't.
Gwen Stefani, you don't care for?
I know.
How about Naomi Watts?
Dude, I don't care if I hate them. Are you out of your mind, Carole? What has happened to you?
I don't know.
I would do it with Heidi Klum if her body temperature had not dropped below 90.
T, get a coat hanger, put it in my ear, and see if you can fix it.
I don't know if I can. Once this is started, I don't know if you can reverse it. Actually thinking about
I hear you're doing a season 2 of I Used to Be a Man Show.
Oh, no.
The hell is wrong with my Corolla and bring it back?
But I'll tell you what has happened as well.
What?
Well, the first time I laid eyes on Teresa Strasser, I said there's a attractive woman, but I think we could work together without any sexual tension. But then I heard her speak, and I became enamored with her words, and I saw how kind she was to children and co-workers. Not so much Angie, but Bald Brian, seems to pass with him.
She had the sexiest voice I've ever heard.
Then I realized how funny she was and how smart she was. All of a sudden, I found myself becoming strangely attracted to this woman. Sure, I'm not an A-cup guy, but on the other hand, those are attached to Teresa.
You can't let my personality.
I don't know what's happening to me, T.
I swore
I would never let it jade me or affect my decision making.
Just look at the A cups, and that's all. You got to focus. Focus on what's not there.
Listen, I'm gonna try.
I focus on your A cups all the time, and you don't care.
Remember
you were talking to Roseanne about the vibe you put off, good guy, bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
If I had said any of that, I would be in Jack Silver's office so fast. You make T so uncomfortable. But you somehow can get away with it.
She knows I love her.
I do. I love you right back.
Thanks. I don't care about you at all, but I would do it with you right now.
All right, I don't want to talk about pregnant chicks anymore.
Okay.
What do you got?
Let's move on. Here's a story about Scotland. Mm-hmm. The government in Scotland just spent 6 months and $250,000 to come up with a new slogan for the country.
Mm-hmm.
$250,000 in 6 months.
Look at the size of that boy's head.
And that's really? what it is. It's confusing to tourists.
That's a huge noggin.
Come for the haggis, stay for the head.
Here it is. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
$250,000 in 6 months. Welcome to Scotland.
Really?
That's it.
That's it? Couldn't they have had school kids do that in one of those lame competitions for free?
Yeah, it used to be the best small country in the world.
Oh, really?
And now it's welcome to Scotland.
By the way, all countries do that thing where they feel like they need a slogan, like they're selling cars or pianos or something. You want to go to Scotland based on Scotland, and you want to go to Tel Aviv based on Tel Aviv or not. You know what
I'm
saying?
Right.
You want to see how the people are and how the country is. It's not really based on the slogan. I don't even know how that factors in. I mean, I know Australia has one, but I want to go to Australia for many reasons, none of which are the slogan.
None of which have to do with shrimps on Barbies.
Right.
Now, I know that you are not a fan of the lottery, Adam. Nor do you think people who play it are very smart.
Gambling for imbeciles.
What about this guy? 55-year-old Timothy Elliott of Hyannis, Massachusetts, bought a scratch-off lottery ticket. The ticket was called the $800 million Spectacular. He scratched it. He won $1 million. So on Monday, he goes to the state lottery headquarters to pick up his first check for 50 grand, with 19 more to come.
Mm-hmm.
And even took a picture with the lottery commissioner. One gigantic problem. Timothy is a convicted bank robber doing 5 years of probation. And one of the terms of his probation is that he's not allowed to, quote, gamble, purchase lottery tickets, or visit establishments where gaming is conducted. So by buying that ticket and winning, he caught the court's attention. Now he's screwed.
Yeah, he's violated his.
And where does the money go? Just back in the coffers of the city?
I would imagine back into the coffers of the city on December 7th. He has a court hearing to determine whether or not he's violated his probation. If he did, he could be going back to prison, and of course his winnings would be forfeited.
Hmm. All right. Well, again, go ahead and gamble, my little tardies. Go ahead and gamble on the lottery, you idiots. See how that message rings in your little hollow head. And the money going to the schools, well, the schools are worse than they've ever been, at least around here. So I'm not buying that part. Second part, it's a vice without the strategy. It is gambling without the one part where you get to use your brain. You see, gambling does take some brains. If you play 21, you gamble. But you use your brain. Dealer's showing a four. You have a 14. You're going to hold. There's probabilities. There's math. There's all kinds of stuff. There's handicapping and all that kind of stuff. But this is just blind, retarded gambling for super poor people. And again, the worst message a city or a state can send to its inhabitants.
This 55-year-old is actually living in a mental hospital. And they let him out during
daylight.
He's
the smartest of all lottery players. Listen, you retards out there. If you play lottery, I'm going to add you to my list. Kill yourself.
Right. This
That's
is
right.
Your,
we don't
your
need
to-do
you.
List.
You're doing nothing. You're going nowhere and you're doing nothing.
Your to-do-yourself-in list, you called it.
That's right. Just kill yourself. You're not going to do anything. You're never going to pay any taxes. You're never going to do anything. And by the way, then when you do win the $1 million, you don't win the $1 million. You win 550 grand because Uncle Sam takes 450.
Right.
Uncle Sam's the real winner. The IRS is the real winner. And then the second part is you don't win that. You get installments. You can take a lump, which is half of that. So you win $1 million, you give half to the IRS, and then if you want to take in a lump, you get half of that, and you get 250 grand, or they can make you some payments. But the problem is you have cirrhosis of the liver because you've been drinking malt liquor for the last 30 years, and you got about 18 months left in you before you hit the dirt. I hate the lottery. I hate it. I hate this city for backing it. I hate this state for backing it. I hate the poor people that hammer their welfare checks and buy the lottery tickets. I hate the pathetic message that it sends. I hate the idea that we can advertise the lottery all over this radio station and every other one, that we can advertise it on TV, but you can't advertise smoking or booze. You can't advertise, you can play Pai-Gow poker, but you couldn't play 21 because that would be wrong. You have all sorts of rules about it except for the one most retarded form of gambling, the lottery, and that's hands off. We get to do whatever we want. I hate it. It's disgusting.
I do too, but that's the news.
Thank you.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
You little piggies who go out there and buy yourself a lottery ticket, you just have admitted you're not going anywhere.
You're to do yourself in list. Yes. By the way, is pure genius.
Thank you.
One flaw for me personally is it on my to do list? I write down two things I've already done so I can cross them off. And I know other people that do that.
Mm-hmm.
They get something done and they write it down and then cross it off so they look good.
Right.
Is there ever a second thing to do on your to do yourself in list?
No. No, that's it. Dirt nap. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. Back next.